Hello and welcome. This is a This Year podcast. This Year brings you highlights of the best podcasts. Find more of our best ofs at thisyearcollection.org. Follow us on Twitter at @this_year and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisyearcollection. You'll have to forgive me today, listeners. I have a little bit of a cold, but we'll get through it. The very first best of we did was of GameSpot's The Hotspot, a gaming podcast that starred such a GameSpot luminaries as Jeff Gerstmann and Rich Gallup and Vinnie Caravella and Bob Coleco and Kerry Guskos. By the year 2007, most of them had left GameSpot, and The Hotspot essentially changed in tone and in format and in style with new cast members and a new feel. But now some of those cast members have returned to GameSpot in the form of Giant Bomb. Just for reference for listeners in the future, this episode was released in April 2012, and just now in March 2012, Jeff Gerstmann and Ryan Davis and Alex Navarro and Brad Shoemaker and Vinnie Caravella all reconnected with GameSpot as they were bought by CBS Interactive, a company that is also the parent company of GameSpot.com. We were going to do this top 40 hotspot moments show anyway, but coincidentally, it's now a good time to go back and look and listen to some of the great moments the Giant Bomb guys had at GameSpot before they became Giant Bomb. So here then are the top 40 moments from GameSpot's The Hotspot from the year 2005 up to the year 2007. And to get first-time listeners all caught up, here's a little sample of who you'll hear from in this show. First, the host of the program from mid-2005 to mid-2007, Rich Gallup.
Or like I said, a boomerang attachment.
It's a boomerang you throw in a room.
is that like the Roomba?
Yeah, no, that's a vacuum cleaner.
That's accurate. Yes, it is a vacuum cleaner, Rich. Thank you.
A Roomba and a boomerang are totally different things. I don't even know why you mentioned that. Clearly. It's not even close to the same thing. But
next, the host of the show after Rich left, Vinnie Caravella.
Back when I was in my Tool and Life of Agony days, porn was in my Malibu cassette player in my car.
Monkey, what year was your Malibu?
Me, man. 81.
Nice.
Yeah. And here's Alex Navarro.
Why exactly. Are they making another Fusion Frenzy?
Because Bill Gates
because
wills
Bill
it.
Bill Gates commands it.
Bob Coleco.
Id Software announced that there will be a Wolfenstein game.
Really?
On the Xbox. Yeah. IDKFA, all that business.
Yeah. Yeah. That was Doom, dude.
Man, I just lost my street cred.
Get out.
Brad Shoemaker.
Brad, instead of your micro, you should be playing more Luminous so you can stop getting stomped.
No comment. I think that is not appropriate for this forum.
Kerry Guskos.
They had just brung it, you know? Brought it. They had brung it.
You could consider it brought in.
They got served.
They brought it.
And of course, Jeff Gerstmann.
Then I went out and I got a bat and beat up a prostitute. Bumpy Trot.
Yeah, Bumpy Trot. Yeah.
I got a bad case of the Bumpy Trot. Give me some penicillin.
If you have a child named Turok, please take your own life.
Stacked and packed, baby.
What? Okay. All right, sure.
Who the hell wants King Kong?
That part
Peter Jackson makes crap movies.
The worms.
So if you're out there like playing Zelda and swinging the sword like you're swinging a real sword and playing Red Steel like all those lame videos where you're like, I'm diving behind my couch. Holy smokes, I can't take it.
You can't.
These people are shooting at me. Holy crap, this game sucks. Like if you're hiding behind the couch because the game sucks so much, like you're doing it wrong. A-Track 3 files play very well on my PSP, thank you very much. This is like, oh great, I'm already a board game jerk. Maybe I'll get an electronic board game. Hey guys, I brought Trivial Pursuit over. We can have a fun night.
Just before we begin, you should know that the clips in this show today are the property of GameSpot and CBS Interactive. Go to GameSpot.com to find the original episodes. And also, if you haven't listened to the Hotspot before, the This Year collection has done 3 extended best of shows for the Hotspot. You can find them at thisyearcollection.org. Let's get underway. I hope you enjoy the program.
Is it going?
I think you have to hit the record button.
It's lit up red.
It's the Hotspot.
All right, the GameSpot presents the Hotspot.
Is it going?
I think it's going.
The Hotspot.
I think you have to do it like it activates what your voice, doesn't it?
I don't even... Okay, so I just need to say it then.
Yeah, just say something.
Live from the studio on the sixth floor.
Live from the GameSpot airship. Live from that big mall in Edmonton where mod chips are $5 for $1. Live from the passenger seat of Dietrich's Ferrari. Live from a bathtub in Mexico. Live from David Hayter's hair. Live from the drive-thru line where I will have a number 3 with ketchup only and a large orange soda. Live and rolling hard through Little Rock, Arkansas. Live from the Decidia Clinic. Live from the One Toronto. Live from JJ Sunny Chiba. Garage in Tokyo. Live from an alternate version of today.
Live from the passenger seat of my NSX.
Live from on top of the Xbox 360 power brick. Live from The Rock. Live from the steamy section. GameSpot presents The Hot Spot. And now here's your host, Rich Gallo.
Number 40.
Let's just turn this into like some kind of weird sports talk show where everything we say is totally, yeah, we're the greatest, man. All right.
Then we'll get a lot of phone calls like, yeah, totally agree with you, man. You guys,
you're right, man.
Dude.
Yeah. Kobe is shagging it out there.
The Raiders can't wait for Vince Young. He's going to be great. One
you know
15.
It. Let's talk about T.O.'s rap song. All right. Now, why would he do this? Pompous jackass. All right. Now, we're going to play a little bit of it as we play out the commercial. And we're going to come back and we're going to get to the bottom of this World Baseball Classic thing. Who the hell cares?
I think we are going to start doing that now. Right. That was too good. Stay tuned to Brian Ekberg's upcoming podcast.
Number 39.
I guess we'll always just, you know, have Halo 3 news.
Oh, what? Hello. Yeah. Hey.
People
that
like,
sounds intriguing.
People want to know more about the Halo 3, and it appears that a Swedish gaming magazine has the info. Alex?
Yeah, apparently this magazine called Level.
Level.
Level! With italics and all caps.
Level!
Has a whole bunch of stuff on Halo 3 in its latest issue, and it's mostly like a multiplayer-focused sneak peek, but there's like new stuff on weapons, vehicles, and features for the game. Basically, Halo 3, one of the weird things, Halo 3 won't have bots, apparently. So if you want to do, like, you want to play the multiplayer stuff, but you don't like playing as people because, you know, you're antisocial and weird, you can't.
Ah, you know, whatever. You can get online and play with people. That's all people really want.
Oh, whatever, man cannon!
Yeah, let's just get
I was going to build up to it.
All right.
You beat us to the punch.
Man cannon!
Man cannon.
Man cannon.
Man cannon.
You know, you know what that sounds like to me?
What?
It sounds like gay sexual content.
Thought we weren't going to bring that back this week.
We had to.
Man cannon. There's a man cannon. What's the man cannon, Jeff?
Good luck with your M rating now, Bungie.
Man cannon.
We have just discovered
a man cannon.
Gay sexual content in this Swedish gaming magazine about your game.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Good luck, Patty.
Launch players across the map unprotected on airstreams.
It sounds like jump pads from Quake 3 or something.
Except now it's dirty.
Well, this isn't obviously it can't be the name for it. This is a, you know, translation from Swedish.
But what if it is?
Cannon translates pretty directly to every language, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's just go with this.
Sends a pretty clear message.
Are they going to call it, like, the slingshot or something? Or
no. No.
The rail transportation system.
Yeah, they'll come up
with
some kind of goofy sci-fi.
But let's
name
just
for
assume
it.
For a moment they won't.
Man like cannon.
The air powered man cannon.
It is just going to be the man cannon.
The APMC.
Let me dream. Let me live my dream for a little bit here.
So you just want to dream of man cannons all day?
You absolutely.
I heard that about you.
Yeah.
Spartan laser. There's a brute spiker.
Oh, behave.
Mongoose ATV. Your secondary weapon will be strapped to your back so you can't, like, hide the fact that you got, you know, one of those plasma swords.
And the X button will no longer reload.
Really? How do you reload?
Players will use the left and right bumpers.
Sure. There's a legendary edition that's going to be in a replica of Master Chief's helmet. Because he takes it off in the movie.
What movie?
The Halo movie.
There's no Halo movie.
There is no Halo movie.
Man cannon.
Man cannon.
That's me. I'm Curtis Man Cannon. Attorney at law.
Yeah.
Private investigator.
The Halo movie is postponed.
That's right. I'm Curtis Man Cannon. I'm a private dick.
Dude, that's like... That's like third grade, man.
Come on, man. You are
number 38.
Alex, we need you for this one.
Oh, do you?
Man steals 60 games in pants.
I have two questions.
One.
What the hell kind of pants was this man wearing that he was able to shove 60 PSP games in there and walk?
Hammer pants.
I was going to say, yeah, is MC Hammer.
That is the
there's
right
only
answer.
One kind of pants.
That is the right answer.
Two.
How does he get to 60 before anyone notices? How?
Here's my favorite part.
Yeah.
He was asked to stop as he was leaving the store, but he fled in a rental car.
Yeah.
A rental car.
I'm pretty sure it was a LeSabre.
Yeah.
That's what the story said.
Very nice.
Wouldn't 60 games bog you down a little bit?
Not in hammer pants, dude. How do you drive?
Dude, hammer
pants
bog you down.
I mean, if he fled in a car, I have to think that he got in the passenger side. Like he told Ice Cube to keep the car running, and they were out.
Yeah.
Oh my God! What a
David
Hayter
speech.
Let's not forget that this took place in the fine cultural center of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
That's your neck of the woods.
Kinda.
There.
I've been there. It is rough.
It's the sort of place where you would shove 60 games down your pants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But usually on a drunken bet.
Number 37.
But Microsoft had an ad made for the 360, which has only really been making the rounds on the interweb. Please, someone describe this ad for me, Alex, if you could.
Basically, the premise is a whole bunch of people sort of like in this bus station, train station looking place playing cops and robbers. Like, you see them start walking around, these like groups of guys sort of bump into one another, they turn around, and then they point their fingers, like, shaped like a gun at each other, and then everyone in the building starts doing it, and you hear, like, you know, the gun clicking sounds and everything, like, you know, oh, they're like, you know, they're, it's like they're really holding guns, but it's their hands.
They're all making them with their mouths, right, all the noises?
Yeah, and then and then as soon as, like, you know, one person says bang, everyone starts shooting each other, going bang, 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 and whatever, it's a bunch of people playing cops and robbers, only they're adults, not six-year-olds, and people got into something of an uproar over it because, you know, it could be perceived as gun violence or something.
Don't forget the best part, though, was the music in the background. Was it like Hold That Tiger? And it was just this really goofy, you know. And
it was a fun ad. It's actually the only good Xbox 360 TV ad I've even seen thus far.
I think they made that with the intention of never putting it on television. They just made it for people like us to sit here and talk about how
the version I saw was a couple minutes long. It was like 2 or 3 minutes long. So it's not a short ad
by any means.
It is clever, and there is speculation out there. They're not exactly sure why they pulled it, but because
it was never meant to be on in the first place.
There you go. I have some friends in the ad biz, and they said there is another controversy, which I guess has since blown over, and that the guy who made the 360 ads also did ads for the PlayStation 2, I think, and the style of the ads is kind of similar.
Oh, I remember those ads. Yeah.
You remember the ones with like all the people climbing up to be king of the mountain?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, something of a one-trick pony, I guess.
See, what I want to do is I want to make my own version of the ad that is me pointing my finger gun to someone's head, pulling the trigger, them falling over, and then me kicking the crap out of them.
Okay.
What is that going to promote exactly?
That's a real jump in. I got to jump people into my gang.
I'm not even sure what you're trying to promote.
Yeah. You just discovered the subversive meaning of jump in, huh?
Yeah,
people
exactly.
Getting jumped
Ooh.
In.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Sweet. Well, let's
good
move.
Job, Jeff.
Number 36.
Especially World War II games. There's so many World War II games being made out there.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's like there's like 30 new World War II games coming out every week at this point.
That's a lot of
40,
games.
40, yeah. 40 this week, but I mean, it's been 30 right. You know, on average throughout the year.
Right. All right, let's move on to
Heroes of the Pacific in stores now.
Look for Call of Duty 2.
Number 35.
Hey, I don't have a GameSpot account, but this is Haley from Dallas, and I just wanted to say I caught your show the other day. Brad Shoemaker is a definite hottie, and Rich, I love you. And I think Paul Walker ought to play Yoshi. All right, thanks. Bye.
Aww.
Wow.
Brad, you are a hottie.
You got some admirers, son.
We hinted that at the beginning.
Thanks, Haley from Dallas.
What's she mean by saying that you're a hottie, but she loves me? What's that mean? I'm like the safe guy? Is that what I'm learning from this?
She's going to marry you, Rich, but she's going to run around with Brad.
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
Yeah.
I better tell my girlfriend, I guess.
Yo, you can't trust him.
How's it going?
It worked.
Shoot me an email.
It worked the first time. Oh, jeez.
Dude, QuakeCon's in Texas.
Stop.
Number 34.
So, yeah, sorry, Capcom. You want to win
whatever.
Maybe next year.
It's not sorry, Capcom. It's Capcom made a choice, and that's that.
Sorry.
No. Don't apologize. This is the way it is.
Stop apologizing.
Sorry.
That's not. Stop apologizing.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
Number 33.
Hey, GameSpot, it's Renee calling from Ontario, Canada. I just finished listening to your last podcast, and I remember you guys talking about release details for a new version of Xbox 360 with Blu-ray, if I'm correct.
What?
Could you give any more speculations about it? Because I've been thinking of getting an Xbox 360 for quite a while now, but I wasn't sure if I should or shouldn't get one. And now that I'm hearing this, I'm thinking I might get one. Thanks.
She wants to hear more speculations about the Xbox 360? No problem.
You guys are jerks.
The Xbox 360 with the HD DVD external, BD internal, it's going to be $499.99 online. If you want in store, it's going to be $599.99, but it comes with a special backpack. It's signed by Velocity Girl.
That's pretty cool. I heard it was going to come with, like, as part of, like, the whole retro gaming thing that they're doing with Xbox Live Arcade, that they're going to take retro movies into account, too, and they release a Laserdisc player.
Oh!
So if you have your old Laserdiscs, you can go back and watch those.
Can I get the Laserdisc?
You know, I have Rad on Laserdisc and no way to watch it.
Exactly,
and that's a total bummer.
Can we get an internal Laserdisc? External BD and external HD DVD Xbox 360.
The new Xbox 360, all internals.
Can I get one of those 200-disc CD changers, too, where all the discs go in, like, you know,
perpendicular to the ground? The disc that's currently playing will glow red.
Yes.
Should we just, for disclaimer's sake, cut through the irony for a minute and the sarcasm?
I will apologize on the behalf of all of us to Renee.
I didn't say anything bad. You guys are a bunch of jerks.
You're laughing. You're part of the problem.
Yeah, but you're still mean.
No, we're not mean, Renee. Sorry, maybe she's in Canada.
Go ahead. Just talk mess about Canada.
I love Canada.
Then we can apologize next week, too.
I love Canada.
I've never been there. I want to go.
You would like it.
Yeah. I hear it's clean.
It's a lot like exactly what you expect it to be, just with a lot more space.
I once went to Toronto for about 18 hours.
I went to a Canadiens game. Sat in the X zone.
Nice.
It was awesome. I just want to go get me some poutine. That's it.
You can get that.
Yeah, I hear that.
You can get that. No,
no, poutine. Poutine.
French fries and gravy. Yeah. Right. You can get that in Northern New England, dude.
But I'm not going to go there. It's Northern New England.
You're mean.
Now I'm mean.
Let's get the apology out.
All right, we're sorry, Renee, and anyone else we mislead of this, but there is no Xbox 360 with an internal BD and external HD DVD coming. Although Microsoft has gone on the record to say that if Blu-ray discs win the format war, they will probably support it because they'll have to.
Yeah.
But that's like, 2 years down the road or more.
Right. Number 32.
Hey, Hotspot. It's 3:30 on a Saturday, and I'm camping outside of a Toys R Us for a PS3 pre-order. How sad is that?
Good question.
That is a great question.
That is a question for the ages.
I like that he didn't even leave his name.
How sad is it? It's...
This is Joel out at San Angelo, Texas, waiting in line for a wee. It's about 1:15, maybe 1:20 in the morning. We've had some odd stuff going on. There's actually a guy who just drove by about a minute ago with a cap gun, those little toys that you pull the trigger and a little charge of gunpowder goes off. And he just drove by and just, like, fired off 7 or 8. I guess they'd be rounds, but not really. Literally just driving by, hanging the gun out the window, pointing it at us, and... pop, 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 pop. And I think that's actually the second time he's been by, but everybody else is kind of okay. Everybody in the line's just chilling, especially since it's like 37 degrees out here. I'll call back later if anything else happens.
To replay.
Drive-by cappings, man.
Yeah.
I love how you hear like sirens in the background of his call.
It's dangerous out there in line.
Right. Yeah. Straight off the streets.
So,
actually busting caps.
Lesson for all. Yeah. Yeah. Don't live in Texas.
I've been to San Angelo, Texas, actually.
How is it?
I think they have an international house of pancakes.
All right, place is all right.
Number 31.
While we're talking summer movies, I want to say, that I've turned my back on.
Yeah.
Die Hard.
Oh, what? Man, yeah. What is that?
The trailer.
That is so sad.
Like, where do they get off making John McClane look like some kind of badass special ops dude who's just like, let me do my thing, and it's just like killing
him. It's Len Wiseman. That's the guy who did the Underworld movies.
Yeah. And I liked Underworld, but...
You do not apply that to Die Hard.
The guy who apparently has such Jedi mind trick game, he has Kate What's-Her-Face from the...
Beckinsale.
Beckinsale. She actually has a bikini that says Mrs. Wiseman in rhinestones across the back.
That guy, I don't know. He can't make movies for
wait a
minute. Insert swear word here.
Are you implying that they're actually that they're an item?
They're married.
Oh man,
they're married. He
that's
married
a,
her.
That's a real
I, as soon as I found out that Live Free or Die Hard was not in New Hampshire, I checked out. totally checked out. It's like
it's like bald John McClane running around with the kid from the Mac commercials,
the Apple kid.
And then his daughter is kidnapped. Just let me get my daughter. It's like where is. What?
And then Timothy Oliphant, some hacker, is going to take over the world. And then Ken shows up
as Bonnie
some
Bedelia
punchy...
in that movie. Is the reporter in that movie?
No.
I can't
believe that he's playing Agent 47.
Is it Christmas time? Just tell me it's Christmas time.
If you want to see Die Hard,
does it take
Hard,
place during Christmas? Just tell me.
No,
I don't know.
Damn it!
If you want to see Die Hard 4, just watch like 16 blocks more. Or less.
I just watched Die Hard 1 4 times, and then Die Hard 2 twice.
Done.
Number 30.
Up next, we have the iRiver portable game device. What is the G10?
dude, who knows, man?
I mean, can they manage to get the MP3 player that they have going like a little more out there in the market? Like, stick with that. The already, you know, we've got iPod and you've got iRiver. Those are sort of the two major ones that I can think of.
Yes, internet water is very big.
Yes.
What?
Basically, there are some shots that leaked of it. iRiver is a Korean company. It's this little thing that looks kind of like a Sidekick with a flip screen.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
That
I
looks...
mean, I've seen people using the MP3 player all the time.
Is that the
I'm
one?
Saying,
that, really? They show it. Show it playing like a Mario Kart knockoff.
Yeah. They show it playing a screenshot.
Was it like Wizard Kart, that game for the Nuon? Are they just porting that to that so it can be on every failed system in the world?
Yes.
Great.
But so anyway, so why are they making a game device?
Because it features Y-Bro wireless internet functionality.
Y-Bro internet functionality? Shaka, dude.
What is Y? Does anyone know what Y-Bro is either?
Broadband Y-Bro.
Y-Bra.
What's Y-Bra?
So we'll see what happens with that.
I'm going to get elected to city council. That's what I'm going to do. And then you know what I'm going to do?
What are you going
to do? Implement Y-Bro.
Y-Bro?
Because Gavin Newsom promised
use,
that once.
It's going to use
he promised
the
Wi-Fi
internet
for the entire city.
It's
going
to use the internet to get us some za and some chos.
All right,
dude.
Number 29.
Y-Bro is coming to get you. Yeah.
To replay, press 1.
God, I hope.
He's coming to get you.
Did he say hi, bro?
Dude, I hope it's not.
Maybe he said why, bro.
Why, bro?
He said why, bro.
Obviously, he's trying to say why, bro. I heard hi, bro, but
you heard a hi, bro.
Yeah.
All
right.
Number 28.
Let's talk. Let's go south of the border, shall we? Yeah. Let's see if we can get some more hate mail coming in.
All right.
I don't want that. With that setup.
That's not a bad setup. Taco Bell sells Mexican food.
They do. Well, I believe it's Mexican quick service cuisine.
Highly
authentic. It's Mexican American food.
Very authentic.
I'm just reading the story here. Talk to the guy who wrote it.
Man, when this came across my desk, I get Google alerts all day. As a news guy, I dropped everything I was doing and just banged this story out. The headline, Taco Bell offers tacos for life for a PS3.
Wow.
Basically what they're doing is they're saying, hey, you got a PS3? Give it to us. We'll give it to charity and we'll give you 12,500 Taco Bell dollars, which apparently is a lifetime supply.
Whose lifetime?
I'd like to dispute that number because look.
Are you really going to spend $12,000 at Taco Bell for the rest of your life?
If I had it and it was freely available,
yeah.
If I could just go there and not pay for it, totally. I mean, I eat a fair amount of Taco Bell as it is because it's the closest fast food place to my house. If I had like $12,500 worth of Taco Bell credit, I'd be dead in a year.
I would spend it all at once.
Yeah.
And me and Tim worked this out. I'm going to craft some sort of, like, taco launcher, and we're going to go skeet shooting, and we're going to shoot tacos.
Gorditas.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Are these Taco Bell bucks accepted at Taco Bell KFC joint stores?
Oh, man.
Or, like, the Taco Bell Pizza Hut combo ones?
I don't care about pizza. I just want my burritos and biscuits.
So you just want to, like, put fried chicken in a burrito?
I want the double-decker taco. And I want my biscuits with the fake honey sauce on it.
12.5 in biscuits goes a long way.
That's what I'm saying.
Twelve five in mashed potatoes.
I could do that.
Famous bowls.
I go swimming in mashed potatoes.
Tim Shred, is there any word on anyone taking them up on this deal?
You know, in the comments section, there were like five people who said like they already did it or they tried.
Yeah. Mm,
and then I talked to whoever was doing PR for this whole thing, and they said I'm going to get to interview whoever wins, which
That's
I'm
cool.
very excited
nice.
For.
Cool.
I cannot wait for you
we
to do that.
Yes,
we need to send a crew out there and hang out with whoever has all this Taco Bell money. And yeah, we need to get them to buy some.
We're going to have to because they're not going to be mobile. They're not going to be able to come to us. They're right. going to be on a couch. They're going to have a washing stick.
They're going to be in a wheelbarrow.
Did you mention it's all for charity, by the way?
It's all for charity, but that's not the
important
part.
Obesity for charity.
Taco Bell, I'll pay you double if you just drive them over here. If you could just...
If you could just put them under the flaps and just got to let me absorb the tacos.
Does that all come on like a card, or is it like actual currency? I want to know.
It's just like a fat sheaf, like what you get if the Warriors score 100 points. They just give you one of those.
I would like to be bathed in taco sauce.
Foul, dude. Foul. Totally foul. So that's the stories.
If I were to give you 500 of these, could you bring back the Mexi Melt the way you used to make it?
Also, what would it take to get the bacon menu back?
Bring back the bacon menu.
Bacon vegan soft taco.
You guys,
man,
are...
bacon menu! Damn it!
I'm all pissed.
You guys have problems.
Dude, I know!
Yeah.
Number 27.
So, video game movies, man, they're kind of bad.
I'm really bummed that Uwe Boll isn't making this, actually. I'm really bummed. I mean, it was surprising to me, and I think what might be the kicker is that the people who are doing this, they look legit. Like, I mean, the movies they've done before, I like them. 28 yeah. Days Later?
Right.
Big fan. The Beach? I'm actually a really big fan. So
you're the only one.
Oh.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, you know, it might actually be something.
Except for the part where you know that they're just going to show Master Chief without a helmet on, and they'll get, you know, it's going to be like, Paul Walker is the Master Chief.
Oh, God. We have to get to the Covenant and shoot
Cordana,
them.
I am a cop.
Do you remember how we used to kick it old school, bro? We have to get to the ring and shoot dudes.
Yeah.
I live my warthog life for a mile at a time.
So, yeah, no, the thing is, yeah, they've definitely got more legit people on here than, you know, the usual video game fodder. You know, Uwe Boll is nowhere in sight. And I think that's kind of the reason Microsoft made all these crazy demands, is because they didn't want Halo turning into another Uwe Boll disaster. And I could go to see a Halo movie if it's done well. I could see it, you know, maybe they'll totally screw it up. But, I mean, at the same time, it sounds like Bungie has, like, a lot of creative direction on this. Like, they have a lot of consulting.
Yeah, well, it's like, I mean, between the books, the games, and, you know, this gigantic manual that Bungie is apparently going to hand off to the people making the movie, you know, they do have, like, a general idea kind of for the whole mythos of the universe, which a lot of games that get turned into movies don't have, right?
I mean, right, right.
That'd be cool. Hopefully they won't show the Master Chief without his helmet on or anything like that. I think that's like the biggest mistake they could make.
If they do, hopefully it will be Vin Diesel.
Sure.
Yes.
Not
Maybe
Walker.
It will be a woman.
Ooh. Oh.
Don't give him any ideas.
Oh,
all right. Enough of that madness. Oh, God. Sorry. I don't even want to think about that. So,
number 26.
All right, Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
Stay tuned for that.
That game will only be good if it has the same synthesized voice as, like, the home computer version.
Yeah.
Where it would, like, play the song, and then it'll go, Ghostbusters!
I was really bad at the NES version of that, where you just, all you do is, like, you drive around for a second, and then, like, the building's open, and you go in the building, and you just walk upstairs and die.
I hated that game. Yeah. Absolutely hated it.
The Genesis Ghostbusters game was awesome.
Was it?
Yeah. That was the one where they, like, looked more cartoony.
They were super deformed.
Yeah, that game was pretty good.
That game was really good, and then, of course, the home computer version. Classic.
Where they say what again?
That is a way too good impression today. Like, you should not be able to make those sounds with a human voice.
I played a lot of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, apparently.
Number 25.
I don't even know how to toss to this one. Jeff, help me out here.
Okay, so the World Series of Video Games, like yet another, like, professional gaming event.
Yep.
They announced that they were going to hold a Miss World Series of Video Games contest.
Mm-hmm.
Totally makes sense, right? There's all these, like, marketing-driven girl gaming clans out there that are getting photos taken of them all the time, right? So, hey, why not?
Yeah.
But then a couple of these clans, the Frag Dolls and PMS...
Oh, you mean Pandora's Mighty Soldiers?
Sure.
You mean Ubisoft and Microsoft?
Yeah, basically. So they came out and said, no, this is wrong because it should be a game. Okay. PMS co-founder Amber Dalton told the Courier-Journal, it's not really a video gamer who will be crowned. It's a model.
Mm.
Well, yeah.
It's a beauty contest.
Yeah. It's a... Okay. And then Ubisoft's Morgan Romine, who markets Ubisoft's frag dolls.
She's one of
obviously
them.
Pillars of integrity.
Yeah.
Said she and the women have to fight the perception that we're booth babes. We're gamers first. We felt this beauty contest was threatening that. Says the frag dolls.
Carrie.
I can't control my... I am clutching the Prince of All Cosmos right now because I can't control it.
Just let it out, girl.
Seriously. All right. Female gaming clans do the exact opposite of what they think they're doing. They think, hey, we're going to get together. We're going to be a bunch of girls. And in some cases, like the frag dolls, like, we're going to be a bunch of really good-looking girls and be like, hey, guys, look at us. We're good-looking girls and we can kick your ass, too. Great. You know what you did? You just pulled yourself out of the mix and alienated yourself from, like, everyone else out there. People who try to, like, get in and play the game on equal footing. This is not about female clan tournaments. It's not about beauty contests. It's not about, like, all-girl clans. You should be able to go in and play video games with boys on the same exact footing. There's no reason you shouldn't be able to do that and integrate yourself. All this crap about how, oh, I'm a girl gamer and I want to, like, play with other girl gamers. That's crap. You want to play with people who have the same interests you. In this case, the only thing that should matter is video games. Not whether or not you have boobs, not whether or not you want to talk about your boyfriend, just do you like to play video games? And here's how. I have played in clans with boys, and I promise it's fine. Like, it's not going to hurt you. They drive me crazy. Like, they pull themselves out of the mix and then get all pissed off that girls are treated differently than guys. So you can get pissed off about a beauty contest when you intentionally pull yourself out and be like, hey, we're girls, and only girls can be in this clan, and this is a girl thing. Like, what are you doing?
And they have a teen version. There's a teen version of PMS, so they're breeding more for the future.
And the gamer scores.
Yeah, so on top of that, the story goes on to say that, curiously, some of the members of these clans have come under fire because, like PMS apparently is, like, an Xbox-centric gaming clan.
They were on the front page of Xbox.com. I showed you this.
Right,
remember,
yeah.
We
there was, like, video of them at
E3
being interviewed and, like, kissing each other and all this stupid crap.
They did a bunch of videos on Xbox Live Marketplace during E3 also.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
And you know why? Because they're girls.
Right.
So it's like, let's treat us the same, but give us special attention and take pictures of us and put us all over the internet because we're girls.
Well, to be fair, I don't look quite as good in hot pants as most of the frag dolls.
That's a lie.
Don't sell yourself short, dude.
But seriously, well, this shouldn't be about what
kind.
You look like in hot pants. Like, all I care about when I see a list of video game clans is who's good. I want to see the guys that are the best. If it's guys, great. If it's girls, great. If it's guys and girls.
That's true for you, but these are marketing efforts. These are them trying to hook people who wouldn't necessarily go and watch competitive gaming otherwise. You say,
so then don't pretend that you're not taking the moral high ground here.
Exactly.
Then don't take the moral high ground. This isn't about...
Well, the members of the clan can, to a degree, because, I mean, just because they're being used as marketing tools, I mean...
They're letting themselves be used as marketing tools. They're getting paid to be marketing tools.
Get used as marketing tools, all right?
What, are you being used as a marketing tool?
I'm just saying that it happens.
I'm just saying they're getting paid to be a marketing tool. They're letting themselves get pictures taken of them and everything. Like, I'm sure they're really nice, and I'm sure they're really good. I just don't agree with what they're doing. I don't agree with
it. And they have, like, no points.
And the PMS girls have no points at all.
They're, like, they're representing Xbox, but, like, the highest score I saw was, like, 3,000 points or something.
Which,
like,
is unacceptable.
That's, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah. Seriously.
They gotta read some features is what they gotta do.
They gotta
exactly.
read some features. So I can't handle
it. So, okay, it's a counter all this. On top of all that, they're like, well, whatever, we're putting on a Mr. World series of video games beauty contest. They've solved the problem. Issue closed. Finally, they put it to bed.
They're taking the Uwe Boll, like, series of logic where it's like, oh, what? You don't like what I'm doing? Okay,
Let's fight.
But then,
adding to it, making it even better, and just showing kind of the maturity level and the thought process of professional gaming. There is the organizers of the World Series of Video Games say that, well, we're just going to have to do it again if they decide to have this Mr. thing. We're going to have another Miss World Series of Video Games. Like,
so
great. And you know, all this contributes to my increasing, like, every time I think, well, maybe I'm just out of touch. Then this comes along and just reaffirms my belief that, like, all professional gaming, all league stuff is all garbage and is all a sham and it is all run by morons.
So that is why I'm clutching
the Prince of All Cosmos, because I was reading this article and I was going back and forth with Jeff on AIM, and I was like, I think there's a vein popping in my head, and he rushes out of his office with the little hand puppet of the Prince of All Cosmos and starts like doing a little puppet show for me, and that calmed me down. And then you're like, hey, Carrie, be on the hotspot. And I was like, oh, I know why he wants me on the hotspot. He wants me to get all mad. Listen, here's the thing.
Number 24.
Guys, I'm going to ask this one more time. What the hell is up with the nunchucks? I mean, what the hell? I can't... God!
So there he is. We quote him all the time. Still can't find a nunchuck.
Amazon or direct from Nintendo.
I had
plenty in stock.
Absolutely no problem. I bought my Wii at launch, but I couldn't find accessories in stores. And buying it directly through Nintendo was very easy and very
fast. Nintendo's backordered right now, dude.
Are they?
I try getting component cables. They're like, nah, we'll send it to you when we get it, but we'll still take your money.
Well, there's also third-party component cables now also, so you don't have to go to Nintendo if you don't want to.
I have third-party cables. They're fine.
But you can't find a third-party nunchuck.
No, you can't. Last week, I ordered mine from Amazon. They had them in stock. I don't know if they still do, but check.
Who knows when this call came from? This call came from like 2 weeks ago.
Maybe.
You know what? I wonder if they're going to make third-party Wii controllers. I wonder if Nintendo would even let anybody do that. Maybe. Probably not.
I mean, if it's standard Bluetooth, I don't know what's going to stop them. I mean, yeah, except for all the proprietary...
Weird, like, accelerometers inside and stuff.
That... You're an accelerometer. Next call.
Yeah.
Ah! Nunchucks! Ah! 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 Nunchucks! Ah! Ah! Nunchucks!
To replay, press 1.
Poor guy.
Dude sounded like he was getting beaten with nunchucks.
I don't think he was talking about... Yeah, he wasn't talking about video games or the Wii. He was decrying the things that were killing him.
Yeah.
So nunchucks are causing people some discomfort, apparently.
I currently have 3 remotes and only 2 nunchucks. Should I was thinking about trying to find a 3rd nunchuck, but hearing calls like this, I think I'm gonna wait a little bit.
I now have 2 remotes and 2 nunchucks and a classic controller.
I've got 2 and 2, and that's really all I want, which is makes it a bummer that Wii Play is only going to be a pack-in with another remote, and I don't want another remote.
Yeah, you need it.
No, I have 2. That's all I need.
No, you need 3, dude.
You really don't need Wii Play, though.
I don't know. Wii Play looks kind of awesome.
It's like 9 minigames.
Wii Sports is awesome,
dude.
Yeah,
Wii Sports is awesome. Wii Play seemed cool the time I spent playing it for on the spot. Definitely didn't seem as cool as Wii Sports.
Well, I want more places for crazy Miis to show up.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Far,
yeah. WarioWare will have very, very limited use of your Miis.
Miis all the time.
They really, really need to step up the Mii thing.
They need to redesign that whole thing, dude. Why can't I dress them?
That's a good call,
dude. Like, I need to be able to pick colors for pants. I need to be able to put them in shorts, This stuff
send your
needs
Miis to the beach.
Exactly.
This is boring. Like, you know, right now, Microsoft is looking at that and going, oh, microtransaction that! Do it! Sell some Nike shoes!
Buy a nice hat for your Mii.
5 Wii points for a hat! Wristbands! Lots of wristbands!
Stop giving them ideas!
Tattoos! Sell them tattoos!
My Mii has a tattoo that says when Halo 3 is coming out.
It's there, and yet it's not being done.
Some executive is clawing his eyes out right now.
Or some executive who wanted it done a couple months ago.
Yeah. But since none of the games that use Miis use the bodies for the Miis, they're all just like the standard, you know, in the baseball mode, it's got the striped pants and all this. So, and in WarioWare, it just uses the face. It doesn't even use the body at all. So, you know, they could very easily update it later on with body support and then start releasing games that use the bodies.
Do it. Make it happen. Miis are great.
I make mine really short. I like to make them as tiny as possible.
You're just a giant head.
Now I see why you guys shout so much. It's a lot easier to shout when you're sitting down. It's just go, ah!
Yeah.
But I have been standing for the
whole
time.
Do your knees buckle when you yell when you're standing?
Is this how it is in the 20 Savage?
Sitting down, relaxing? I just sat down when we switched to the phone calls. I'll stand up right now. Dude, I'm going to stand. Look, now it's
all right.
Oh, you're right. That's good for the radio.
Yeah, you like that. I'm standing.
you project better.
Nunchuck guy called the 3rd time, but it's just more of that.
Yeah.
Ah, nunchuck! Ah. You know, that's what it is.
Right. Like, Uncannable in Australia.
And he says, hey guys, just in regards to the guy who kept calling and asking about what was up with the nunchucks for the Wii, I, like you, thought it sounded more like he was being pummeled by the traditional Japanese weapon as opposed to having trouble locating the video game peripheral, and succeeded in being able to amplify the underlying sound channels which weren't audible in the version that you aired. I present it here for your enlightenment. And he attached this MP3 file.
What the hell is up with the nunchucks? I mean, what the hell? I can't... God! Ah! Nunchucks! Ah! 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 Nunchucks! Ah! Ah!
That was an amazing MP3 file.
Yeah. Totally amazing. Totally mind-shattering.
8.8.
Yes. All right.
Neville, a very good Australian name.
Yes, yeah. Totally.
Number 23.
Tokyo Drift.
Hey, maybe Paul Walker's too busy doing the Postal movie.
Oh.
That's why he's not in Fast and the Furious 3.
Mia, I am waiting in line. I have to. I wonder if my father is in there.
Remember how we used to kick it
old
in line?
School, back in line in Miami? How we used to do it like we used to do it, bro? Now, bro, I need 2 bottles of NOS by tonight. By tonight, bro. I wonder if my father is in there.
All right, that's the end. Oh. That's it.
Number 22.
Heat the game.
What?
Heat. The game, as like, in the Michael like Mann Heat.
Oh. Awesome.
The yes. Movie.
Made by who?
Gearbox.
They
the
make
good,
good
folks,
games.
They did. They make all the Brothers in Arms
yeah.
games. They made the PC port of Halo, and they are straight up going to make Heat the game.
Dope.
So is it going to be the bank robbery scene over and over
they
again?
They haven't really said too much other than they got Val Kilmer to be in it. They're negotiating with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, and it
Val
is going
Kilmer.
To be... Yeah, and well, I think they pretty much... I thought they said they got Val Kilmer, but...
Cool.
And straight up, it's going to be like mostly a prequel, I guess. Like, you'll get to do a bunch of jobs, like, with their crew, and...
They list a couple of different scenarios that it could either be a prequel or a sequel, kind of depending on if De Niro gets involved or if Pacino gets involved and all that stuff. So they've got a few different options, depending.
Cannot wait.
I just want to do the LA bank robbery.
Gearbox, give us more.
That could be the greatest multiplayer map ever.
One of the greatest movies, one of the greatest bank robbery sequences ever put on film.
Ever.
The best gun audio ever
yeah,
on film?
Some of yes. the, yeah, totally. Some of the best gun audio
and
ever.
And you know,
Tom Sizemore
at E3,
in his prime.
We were yeah. only a few blocks away from where they filmed all that.
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, like, yeah, like, totally. Like,
we could have just got out in the streets with our own M4s and started.
Ashley Judd.
I brought mine.
Oh, okay.
Hank Azaria. Everyone's yeah. in this movie.
Totally.
Yeah, the dude, Magua from Last of the Mohicans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Danny Trejo.
Yes.
Yes.
The list goes on and on.
That
John Voight.
William
Billy Fichtner.
Fichtner.
Yeah. Billy Fichtner.
Henry Rollins.
Yes.
Get them all
in.
And
the cameo role to
Wayne Grow.
Bring them all
Whatever that dude's name is.
Yeah.
His name's Wayne Grow.
Hey, brother. All right.
You don't know what this
there,
is.
Yes, there needs to be a button in that game that when you press it, you call someone brother.
Or Slick. Or
Tone Loke could be in this game. Damn it.
Grim
this is
Reapers.
Be the greatest game ever made.
Grim Reapers visiting
that
you tonight.
That Slick is no joke, man. What am I telling you?
Oh, will there be a hooker strangling minigame?
Oh, man.
Give me all you got. Give me all you got.
Do you have to, like, mash on the X button to push the TV out of the passenger side of the car?
I heard Richard.
That's right. Natalie Portman. They're all in there.
Oh, slashing her wrists.
Don't waste my time.
Exactly. Don't waste my... All right. I'll
yeah,
stop.
My mother
yeah,
something mother, time.
Yeah, exactly. You get killed walking your doggy.
Number 21.
Hi, this is Taylor. Taylor is here. I woke up in a tub of ice in Mexico. And I had a note that said, thanks for the kidney. Love, Dietrich. Damn you, Dietrich!
To replay, press 1.
Oh, that's the call of the week right there.
I'd say that about wraps things up.
Number 20.
No love for game retail, man. Those people
no,
are...
None. None.
No love.
I just recently vented, and this is bringing it back in me, the hate for how just completely backwards game retail is and how just poorly run the whole operation
seems to be. When Carrie's class action lawsuit gets up and running, we're all jumping in. We're all on board.
I'm frankly already established a boycott on that specific EB Games on Powell in San Francisco. People in San Francisco don't go to the EB on Powell.
Whoa,
it's a mess.
Or you know what? Call them on Wednesday mornings, afternoons, and ask them if they have games in stock yet, if you can get them to answer the phone.
I think you should take that boycott nationwide. No one in any state should shop at the Powell Street EB.
Right. It's a pretty touristy spot if you're down there riding cable cars and doing whatever it is people do when they come here when they don't live here.
If you live in New York, send them a message.
Exactly.
Don't go there.
Do not go to the EP on Powell.
What did they do to you, Ryan Davis, so we could find out what the vendetta is
you know,
all about?
They've just, for me personally, it's been consistently rude service, poor service. They never have games. Whenever I come in on the day a game comes out, We Love Katamari. I come down there the day it comes out. I'm like, oh, can I get a copy of We Love Katamari? Oh, did you pre-order it? No. Oh, well, that's too bad. You should have pre-ordered it because we don't have any copies if you don't have a pre-order. It's like consistently they mock me for not having a pre-order. It's never like a, sorry, we only have enough copies to cover our pre-orders right now.
Maybe it's in the handbook.
It's always this. And you know what? then that's a messed up handbook. And I don't want to deal with a store where the handbook says be mean to the customer. And also there is the thing with Carrie where the last four pre-orders that she had at that store, four, were sold out from under her on the day that she went to go buy them.
And it's not like she showed up like 2 days late or something.
It was the day they came out.
They got the stuff in stock, and by the time she got over there, all gone.
Awesome.
Oh, so we didn't get enough. Well, why take pre-orders?
Pre-orders are stupid and the worst scam ever.
To be honest, I almost kind of wish that the Sony, the PlayStation Store, and the Metreon sold multi-platform games.
Because they're
everyone I've met there is way nice. And
they always have stuff in stock.
They'll come up and ask you, and they always have stuff in stock.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's just EB, GameStop, and Game Crate. Like, the game-specific retailers are just, maybe, you know, they're also focused on whatever. Because, it's like I go to Best Buy, I go to, you know, regular stores where they don't necessarily care that much about games, and it's just like whatever, they have them and it's behind the counter and there you go. It's not some big ordeal where it's like, oh, would you like to get our MVP card and be part of the gaming lifestyle? It's like, no, just I want the damn game so I can get out of here. Creepy. Yeah.
Suffocating
creepy.
In here.
Creepy.
The personal opinions of anyone appearing on the show do not reflect the opinions of GameSpot.com or CNET Networks.
Oh!
Number 19.
Hey, Hotspot. My name is Jason, and I have a bone to pick with Sony. Okay,
it's the Crypt
what
Keeper.
Kind of people over there at their marketing rep, okay, they announced it's $600. I let that slide. Okay, I'm a Sony fan. I let that slide, okay? And then they keep on pounding you with bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news, okay? Oh, you're not buying a game system. You're buying raw potential. I don't give a I don't give a damn, okay? I don't want potential. I want the goods. Show me the money! And plus, okay. I just saw something that the games would cost anywhere from $60 to $100, okay? How the hell do you think you're going to sell a $100 game, okay? What is wrong with you, Sony? What is wrong with you, okay? Just scrap the whole PS3. Scrap it! You stupid pieces of junk! I can't believe what you're doing to yourself! Oh my god! Show me some good news! Oh, I'm going to buy an Xbox 360. I should have done it a long time ago, Sony. I should have abandoned you! You guys, all you guys give us bad news! What the hell is wrong with you? Where is the good news? So, my question is, why can't Sony give us some good news? Okay, you guys are great. I love you guys. You guys are like my only friends. Please answer my question. My GameSpot account name is Jason16888. Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, thank you for the call, Jason.
Is he one of the Jackie Boys?
Oh, that was a good call.
I agree. Moving on.
Thank you for the call, Jason. Hopefully games will not cost $100.
He's totally right. Why the hell would anyone pay $100 for a game?
Yeah.
I paid $80 for Strider for the Genesis, and that was a mistake.
I'd like some good news, too.
Yeah. All right.
Number 18.
All right, we have one more lawsuit. Let's talk about this one. Alex, you said this is a personal favorite of yours.
Oh, this is hysterical.
What's it all about?
Okay, so apparently this guy is claiming that he invented the superstar mode in Madden 06. Okay.
No, man, it's called Heart of a Champion.
Yeah, he apparently pitched this idea for basically a football game called Heart of a Champion, and he apparently met with EA sometime a couple years back about this concept. And lo and behold, it includes things like, you know, make sure they get passing grades, picking their parents to get an optimum gene pool, all these sorts of things that, funny enough, were in Madden this year. I gotta say, the guy's got some cojones to actually admit that he came up with that idea, because that, that mode was not good or in any way. And maybe he's just pissed that they, like, they sullied the name of his idea. Like, maybe his idea was really good and EA broke it or something, but yeah.
His idea is not that unique. I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to go like, well, we have this football game and we have created players. What would be the next step?
Let's have like a
managing
mode.
Yeah, I mean, a career mode for a per
one player.
Yeah.
No, I certainly agree, but I also, I mean, the fact that he did meet directly with EA a couple of years back
sure.
with those kinds of
but
ideas.
But who's to say that he even met with the people at EA that came up with that work on Madden? You
true
know?
Enough,
it's like,
true enough.
EA is huge. Who knows which office?
Right. My favorite part about this story is that the guy is listed as Pernell Harris, owner of Virtual Jam.
What's Virtual Jam?
I don't know. Yeah, that's his company that he's shopping around this horrible football idea
with.
That
is the greatest name I've ever heard from
anything.
Yes.
We should look it up.
We should go hang out. We should go try to get jobs at Virtual Jam.
Maybe he can make Virtual Rap Jam.
Yeah, it's the Virtual Jam.
Virtual Rap
the
Jam.
The Virtual BK Lounge.
Yes. We're going to let Bob scramble.
Here we go. VirtualJam.com provides products for jamming. Drum machine reviews and drum machine software and downloads.
I don't think that's the same thing, but that's really good.
Here,
anyway.
Let's try virtualjam.net.
I was expecting it to be a porn site.
Whoa, what did I just click on? We're turning that off.
All right, let's move on to our final story.
I invented the kids with the grades. Not you, Mr.
Get off the phone.
Mr. Soul Crushing Corporation.
Number 17.
Let's move on to another story about the Xbox 360. Obviously, many, many, many consoles have now hit homes.
Upwards of four have been sold.
Exactly.
All four that made it to shelves.
Yes.
It's a sellout.
And some of them apparently are overheating, and that has left
one of the four.
Yeah, and now there's a lawsuit.
That's 25%, man.
Robert Byers from Chicago, Illinois. What's his beef?
He can't ventilate his Xbox 360 properly, so he's suing Microsoft.
He put it in his glass enclosed entertainment center with shag carpeting, and was surprised when his it's entirely possible he got a bum Xbox 360, but you know someone is. And
yeah, Microsoft's putting the number at like somewhere under 3%, which they claim is lower than most consumer electronics products as far as defective rates.
That still sounds kind of high.
I think the lesson is stuff's broken
all the time.
The nerdier your customers are, the louder their complaints will be heard. Like the iPod, you know, they've had lawsuits about like the screen scratches,
and
the battery life.
Nerds don't really have anything else to do exactly except play with their consumer electronics. So when those consumer electronics break,
I can understand
and try to defeat the alpha betas in a series of college themed games.
And I could see like taking it to court if like you had a problem with your 360 and then they refused to replace it. Is that the case here? Or is this just a guy being angry?
They're saying that like they can't replace it quickly, but that I don't think Microsoft at any point has said we're not going to replace your system.
Yeah, I mean they've admitted that there are some defective units out there. They would certainly be refurbishing or replacing those units under their standard warranty.
The suit is seeking unspecified damages, attorney expenses, and replacements or recall of Xbox 360s.
You know what?
Well, you know, his emotional damages, I mean, that's some punitive amount.
Yeah, what's he
going
to say? It's like,
I took 2 days off of work because I wanted to play The Perfect Dark, but I can only play it for 15 minutes at a time.
It's like, dude,
I'm calling my lawyer.
Dude, your 360 didn't set your house on fire. There's no
But
call
what if
for
it
this.
Did?
It didn't.
But it's going to.
I didn't realize we
because I'm starting, I mean, because I just have a feeling.
I'd like to thank Robert for calling in. I didn't realize we had a phone here. Appreciate that.
Look here, friend.
Number 16.
Hello, my GameSpot Total Access name is Jeff. My real name is Jeff. Long time listener.
I just want to call in and say, hey, what's up? Your show's pretty good.
Thank you.
You guys want to hang out sometime? And be,
no.
Dude, cool totally.
You should put, yeah, that'd be pretty good. Rich, you should sit down, man. Calm down.
He's got a point.
I'm pretty chill. All right, but see you later.
Well, this guy's a jerk.
That guy sounds like a real dirtbag.
That sounds like an Xbox Live user if I ever heard one. I bet that guy's on the top of the point standings if I had to bet.
It's probably up there.
Next call. Yeah, Jeff, that's your fault. We're listening to you right there.
Delicious.
All right. Next call. One.
Jeff.
Awesome.
I'm a trendsetter.
You know, I think that one's from the southern hemisphere. I hear the water spinning the other way.
Oh, maybe if we could get, you know, another listen at it, we could analyze it further.
Oh, definitely. Oh,
yeah, that's totally it. Yeah. It's
spinning the other way.
What do you know? What do you know? That's great. Thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone, for the call.
If I were to jump off of a cliff, would you do it?
Number 15.
There's a study out there that says consoles elicit varied psych responses, which I'm sure is causing some alarm in System Wars right now.
This is the dumbest stuff.
This is science.
It's like, yo, check it out. I'm a whatever Xbox fanboys are called. I'm one of those. That makes me more confident. Y'all are not confident, you whatever PS3 owners are called.
Before we start making fun of it, can you tell us what the story actually says?
Sure.
And how are Barbie and Bratz dolls
so annoying
in the mix?
A group of market researchers did some research both among boys and girls. For boys, they were looking at how boys responded to the PlayStation and Xbox console brands. And with girls, they were looking at how they responded to Barbie and Bratz dolls.
Totally natural, of course.
Why
wouldn't you do it that
America?
Way?
Okay, seriously.
Why would a girl have a reaction to a PlayStation 2 or an Xbox? The only reaction that could possibly happen would be like, ew, video games.
Yeah, I wish there were more Bratz on this system. You
know, it's totally natural.
No, I'm going to use this as an easy bake oven.
Wish it were pink.
I'm too barefoot and pregnant to play these damn video games.
God.
Okay. All right. So, all right. And what are the results of the study, Carrie?
Oh, the group. I'm just going to talk about the game part. The group found that Microsoft's branding made boys more self-confident and power-motivated than those who viewed Sony's system.
Okay.
What?
But it also created increased levels of distrust.
Does that mean
science?
But Sony doesn't make people distrustful at all.
So does that mean that Microsoft is Bratz and Sony's Barbie, or Sony's Bratz and Microsoft's
Barbie?
Well,
I think according to the girls section, that Barbie exhibited more trusting. So we're going to say Sony is Barbie and Microsoft is Bratz, which makes
System Wars
actually
run with it.
Take it.
But anyway, I think one of the things that's important to note here is that there's not a lot of information around this study, and they didn't respond to our calls and ask for comment. So there's no distinction about whether or not it was an Xbox or Xbox 360 or which PlayStation it was. Also, how many participants there were, you know, whether or not it was like a viable, you know, research actual study.
All they really did is they got people together, made them, you know, look at ads for these products and look at the logos, and then had them write short stories. And then
the group's personality psychologist used text mining software to compare the stories and measure the subconscious effects of the brand logo or advertising.
Is this science at all?
Emerge! Yes.
I love their findings. It says, quote, "Our findings confirm that brand advertising can increase positive attitudes and perceptions. The reverse is also true. Some ads actually decrease brand trust in the target market." So they found nothing, basically.
We discovered that anything's possible.
Right.
We discovered that boys like video games, girls like dolls.
Yeah. Bratz are cooler than Barbies. Oh, Barbie. So, okay.
And so does
that's
PlayStation.
I mean, Bratz are out there having unprotected sex. Barbie does not do that.
Wait, yeah, Barbie's
too
protected.
Much eye makeup. Yeah. Too much eye makeup.
Too much eye makeup.
Like two ear piercings in each ear.
Why do you let your hair cover your face, honey? You're so pretty. I want people to should be able to see your pretty face.
Number 14.
EA has recently inked the hot new development talent from the world of video games. Ryan Davis, who is it?
I believe it's Mr. Steven Spielberg.
Correct. What's going on?
E.T. the game.
No, this is all original. They've set up a deal where...
E.T. 2, the game.
Where Steven Spielberg is hooking up with EALA, and they're going to make 3 all-new titles based on crazy ideas that Steven Spielberg has. And I guess that the part of the back end of this deal, though, is that EA will continue to hold the game rights for these games, but Spielberg is going to get the film and movie rights. So if he makes a crazy game and then says, I want to make this into a movie, he can. So he's definitely kind of getting ready for his multimedia blitz.
Now, this is not the first time that he has designed a game.
No, he was part of DreamWorks Interactive in 99 when they released, was it 99? When they released Medal of Honor for the PlayStation.
Well, it might have been a little earlier.
They said the Games Arm was formed in 1995.
Yeah. Okay, right.
But Medal of Honor came out in 1999, which we all know EA then bought out DreamWorks Interactive and have since released 73,000 Medal of Honor games.
There are like 4 coming out this week.
Yeah.
So they're obviously eager to hook back up with Steven Spielberg, and you know anyone would be, quite frankly. That name has clout regardless of where you go.
Yeah, of course. Then he's going to come out with like, all right, man, Robot Cobras, check it out.
I'm in.
All right.
Yes.
I am in.
Robot, keep talking.
Robot Cobras, voiced by Alicia Silverstone. Okay, hang on.
Now he won't be working alone in this. They have, they're saying Doug Church, who worked on such games as Thief and Deus Ex, helping him out.
Uh-huh.
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, so they've got game talent in there, too. So they you know, minimize the danger of crazy movie guy that don't know nothing about games saying, like, I want to shift the paradigm to emotional levels.
You know. I think Spielberg is pretty in touch with, I mean, you hear every year at E3 stories about Steven Spielberg on the floor, you know, in booths all over the place playing real games, not just, like, thinking about games as a concept or a, you know, vehicle for his movies or whatever. So I think that there's he's genuinely plugged into this stuff.
He's plugged in.
Yeah, he's jacked in.
He's plugged in.
To the internet.
Yeah.
To the World Wide Web.
Yep, that's right.
Running a search for Medal of Honor on GameSpot.com produces 23 games. I'm guessing some of those are multi-platform, so it's probably fewer titles than that.
Yeah.
But if EA's got to be thinking that if we just get 3 new game ideas out of him, that's 70-some games right there over the next 5 years.
Look at you being math man today.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You watched MathNet when you were a kid, weren't you?
I did. I actually have the MathNet badge in my cube.
Oh, shut up.
Dude, do you really?
I do. Frankly, MathNet. Come by.
Oh my God.
Helps when your mom's a math teacher.
Get,
that's the swag I got hooked up with before I came here.
Could she introduce me to Kate Monday?
I think she was actually closer to Pat Tuesday. But
weak.
Yeah, sorry. But so I have a feeling there's going to be some good games coming out of this. Keep the fingers crossed. Hopefully Spielberg will be able to exert some influence.
What do we think? Well, I mean, off the top of the head, what sort of stuff do we think that Spielberg is going to do? I mean, we know what he's done before.
Robot Snakes.
Okay, we've done Cyber Cobras. Yeah.
There's got to be
Close
some
Encounters.
Kind of alien game. Yeah.
Sort of sci-fi game. I'd be really interested to see him doing something more like Close Encounters, less like
War of the Worlds.
Yeah, less full-on like sci-fi futuristic and more like kind of sci-fi tinged. Because that seems to be his strength, frankly.
I'm going to be honest, I would not be surprised if another war-esque game came out of this, just because the team that's working on it have made all the Medal of Honor games. That is what he knows well. So
I'm hoping for just a pixel-perfect port of Raiders of the Lost Ark for the Atari 2600.
Sure, keep hope alive, buddy.
2 joysticks, one for inventory, one for running around.
Well, maybe it'll be like a sci-fi conspiracy thing, like... Because, you know, you had Doug Church, who did Deus Ex, and Spielberg did that crazy one with...
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, Minority Report, wasn't that him?
Yeah.
Here you go, Jeff. Yeah. Here you go. Nintendo Revolution game where you get to crack the whip.
All right, I'm in.
All right, I'm so in.
Yeah.
Let's talk about EA for one more moment.
Okay, hang on. But what happens if, when you get to the part where he says, throw me the idol, I throw you the whip?
Do you throw
the controller at the screen? I mean, what...
It's a Revolution game at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, 2 controllers, dude.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, so...
it comes with a controller launcher that launches a second controller at you when you throw the first one over. So that way, like, then you're holding the idol. And then...
How about you just catch it after it bounces off the TV?
All right.
In the air. If you catch it in the air, then you have the idol. If you don't...
Then you kept the whip.
Right. Okay.
And then you have another controller
that uses
a gun. And you just pull it out and just shoot dudes.
Number 13.
Hey guys, this is Glenn from Jackson. I'm sitting here eating a bacon sandwich, watching the Knife Channel. I got a question. What should I do? Should I get 228 knives on the Steel Overlook collection for $259, or should I go out and buy an Xbox 360 for 100 more? I'm not really sure what to do because this Steel Overlook collection's pretty good. They just threw in the katana, and it looks like I'm throwing a big Jim Bowie knife, too.
Oh.
So either I could have the Jim Bowie knife, the katana, or an Xbox 360 for a little bit more. So just call me back and let me know, should I get the game system or the katana. And I'm eating a bacon sandwich, and it's really good. Bye.
Man, Glenn knows how to make a call.
He is living. That is how you do it around the holidays.
Yeah.
Bacon sandwiches and knife show.
Watch the knife show.
Did he say it was a 228-piece set?
Yeah.
A lot of knives.
That's a lot of knives.
That's a lot of steel.
Yeah, Glenn, I think you're going to really have to. Oh, man. It depends on what knives are in the set. I mean, we're talking about 440 stainless. That is just, I don't know. That's a really bargain.
How many tactical folders
are in the set? Did you get any nice Coca-Cola? Is the Galactic Defender in your set?
That's a classic.
In your set.
What about stands or sheaths?
The firefighter. Exactly. Well, stands and sheaths are included, but they're not included as part of your piece count. I don't know. I have yet to buy.
We would have been more useful, I think, if we had gotten this before the holidays, because obviously you get a lot of these knives. These are great for gifts. You give these to your relatives.
You get a full dealer case.
You get a dealer's case of these tactical
of these
folders.
Firefighters, and they're just.
I'm gonna say right now, though, until they make the deal a little sweeter, I think you go for the 360.
Katana,
but it's got a katana in it.
Listen, let's go to the 360.
If they had a nice tanto in there with the katana,
we need to know more before we can make the call.
Exactly. So I'm going to tentatively say the Xbox 360 because I know a thing or two about watching TV about knives, and I've yet to find a set that's better than an Xbox 360.
Here's I'm going to go with knives because knives go better with the bacon sandwich.
You know what? I'm going to go with a whole lot of bacon sandwiches.
All right, well, let's go to the next call.
Next call.
Hey, guys, this is Glenn from Jackson again. I called earlier about the dilemma with the 256 knives for, $250 and all the Xbox 360. Well, they just sweetened the deal on the knives. They're throwing in 50 pocket watches and a switchblade and looks like two more katanas. So I don't know. I'm thinking about going for the knives.
Knives.
With the watches. What are the watches on the knife show? I don't know, but... They're showing the watches now and the katana, so I don't know. I'll call you back when I make my final decision. Bye.
Glenn does not call back.
Oh, no!
He is still thinking it over.
Glenn, if you're still mulling it, knives.
Yeah.
They don't sell switchblades on the knife show.
They don't?
No.
Maybe he's talking about a folder. Because, they do that little flick thing with those folders.
That's true. It does kind of have
a switchblade.
He said it looks like one. And he said pocket watches. Like, he said, like, 50 pocket
watches. Around Christmas, they have all kinds of weird stuff.
At this point, it's up to 3 katanas.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were blowing out katanas, dude.
Yeah.
I actually have a katana. My dad.
So
big holiday winner this season? Knives, apparently.
Knives.
Take that, Xbox 360.
It's never too late to buy knives for holiday season 2007.
Can I tell you, I actually did buy knives also for the holidays for someone.
Really?
So someone got a Christmas present of knives.
Awesome.
Was it a full dealer case of fixed blades?
No.
Lame.
Next call.
Hey, GameSpot. This is Glenn from Jackson.
What up, Glenn?
Back on 24th was the knives versus 360 dilemma.
Yeah.
I want to call and let y'all know that, I went for the knives.
So yes!
I got the three katanas, the Bowie, the Tonto, and pocket watches. So if anybody needs a pocket watch, give me a call and I'll send y'all one because I got a bunch of pocket watches I don't know what they're going to do with.
A dealer case of pocket watches?
Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus because no more than a week later, a friend of mine at work, his brother was say, less than reputable, said he had a Xbox 360 for sale, best in the premium edition, 20-gig hard drive, headset, remote control, the whole nine yards. I'm not saying it was stolen or anything or it came out of any sort of a, let's say, shady car boot sale, but Xbox 360, the Jim Bowie knives, and his life is complete. So I just want to call and give you an update. Keep the good work. Bye.
Awesome.
Yes, Virginia,
dude.
There is a Santa Claus,
and
he steals crap.
Wait a minute. Did you say he was from Virginia or West Virginia?
One of those. Yeah, he's from Jackson. I thought it was Missouri.
He said maybe there's
they have car boot sales out there.
He said yes, Virginia. No, he said yes, Virginia. There is a Santa Claus. It's a line. What movie is that from?
I think it's from a newspaper editorial.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's from Miracle on 34th. I forget.
Whatever.
So, the guy, he's watching late night TV, and he called us to say, I have this money. I'm going to buy an Xbox 360, but there are all these knives on TV. I want to buy those.
Was he watching the knives on TV?
Now, I wonder if...
Well, then he called back again.
Yeah.
And then he said, okay, they just added a couple katanas and 50 pocket watches.
I've seen that. It's on, like, the wife-killing channel. It's great, where there's just, like, 100 knife combo packs.
Jeff is a big fan of the knife show.
Jeff is
the
world.
With the katana, the tanto.
He got that.
Yeah, he got
Jim Bowie.
Yeah, Jim Bowie, Jim Frost cutlery,
man, but
finest 440 German stainless steel.
Jeff happens to be the world's biggest knife show fan.
And then he goes and gets... What's he do after he gets these knives? He turns to the criminal element to pick up his Xbox 360.
See, which I fully support.
He should have used the knives to get the Xbox. Yeah,
Glenn,
Glenn,
be careful, man. Don't go down that road. Just be happy with the knives. Put them in the display case. Play your Xbox 360. You know, walk the line.
Yeah.
Walk the line, but... He didn't tell. Sheaths, stands.
Yeah,
logs to stick them in.
I bet that the three katanas may have come with a nice stand. That's my guess.
Maybe
it was the holidays, so they were throwing in a lot of stands and sheaths with stuff.
That's fantastic.
Number 12.
Bully didn't have any achievement points. What? I thought about calling that out in the review. Like, this game doesn't have any points. What the hell?
You played all the way through it and you got nothing.
I know.
They should have retrofitted it with a points system.
Now, and we thought Bully was going to come out, get the review. It's going to everyone. It's a great game. It's a very good game. Play it, everyone. And we're moving on. It's rated T. It's
schoolyard violence.
Yeah,
it's not that nothing bad. Too bad. No one dies.
Some baseball bats and
and then
slingshots.
We've got the full list right here.
Boys are boys.
Crude humor, language, use of alcohol and tobacco, violence and sexual
themes.
Which,
the use of tobacco, if I am remembering correctly, is just one kid has a cigarette behind his ear.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that really using tobacco?
But don't listen to any. Who cares about people hitting each other with baseball bats? There are dudes kissing.
What?
Oh my goodness!
There is
boy on boy sexual conduct, kissing on the lips,
kissing with the mouth area on another
mouth
man.
On mouth contact. Well,
fully
this
clothed,
and this game got a T.
A T rating for guys kissing.
World is about to end. The end times are here, folks.
It is such a bummer that this is a story.
Yeah, it's a...
It's a bummer because obviously Jack Thompson had to have something to yell about Bully, and this was it. So he said to the ESRB, this game's got kissing with dudes in it, and you gave it a T. Good luck. And then ESRB said...
He didn't even call it dudes kissing. He called it something far more insidious sounding.
Oh, yeah.
We just found gay sexual content in Bully.
Oh,
gay sex.
It's as like, Jimmy Hawkins makes out with another male student. Good luck with your T rating now, Patty. Which is great, because then the ESRB came back and said, guess what? We knew about that. It's still a T.
Yeah.
Because that's really not that big a deal. And guess what? Everyone at home, it's not that big a deal.
In fact, it's such not that big a deal. We're moving on.
We're done.
It makes Jack Thompson really look... I mean, a lot of things he says make him look really bad.
Yeah.
But dude...
It's
now
really
he just looks
straws.
Like a really creepy homophobe on top of all that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whoa. Gay sexual content.
Gay sexual content. All right. It's just dudes kissing? Oh.
Bully.
I don't know.
Bully's, is it 8.7?
Yeah, Bully's awesome.
Yeah, play it.
And the gay sexual content in the game, pretty funny.
Yeah, it's not like...
The dialogue's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just...
And it's not something that you have to do as the game goes on. It's something you can.
It's all about choice.
Yeah,
it's all about choice.
It's all about my choice of gay sexual
content.
Gay
sexual content. Hot, nasty, 50 naughty hot ladies.
Okay, all right.
Number 11.
Thanks for your emails. Keep them coming in to hotspot@gamespot.com. But you guys, we also take phone calls.
Dude, what?
Over the telephone. Or sometimes people use the internet to use the telephone. And if you were to call into our phone number, which is I don't have it memorized.
I don't know it either at all.
No,
when Rich gets back,
we'll splice it in.
Right.
Yeah, no, it took Rich a little while to memorize the number. And you'd think with the number of times I make him say it, I would have memorized it by now. But I'm just going to look it up real quick.
Do we spell out the phone number on the current page?
Hopefully.
I might be able to look up Colin's Dropbox because he did work it into that new design.
Okay, cool.
866. You're trying to remember it by, hold on, I think I might.
Just call us at 866 something, something, something.
590 cash. Oh, Jesus. This is destined for greatness, what you're doing right here. Start dialing.
I think this is the number.
7 minutes later.
All right, I think we got it. We're going to try it. I'm pretty sure this is it.
If we pick up, what do we say to ourselves?
I don't know.
Some cloning Clyde jokes?
Yeah.
I should play that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should.
I actually just bought it.
It's a lot of fun.
Hello, you've reached the GameSpot Hotspot Hotline. Uh-huh. Please leave your question after the tone and include your GameSpot account name if you've got one. But if you don't have one, then I guess you can't leave one. You should go sign up for one. It's free. Do it.
Please leave a message at the tone.
Who's that jackass?
Some idiot. Or press pound for additional options.
Hi, what's your phone number? We're pretty sure it's 877-506-8324, but if you could call back and let us know, that'd be great. All right, take care, love you.
You didn't leave a callback number, dude.
Oh, man. All right, well, okay. Anyway, 877-506-8324 is the number, and when you call, you might sound just like this.
Hi, what's your phone number?
Oh, right.
We're pretty sure it's 877-506-8324, but if you could call back and let us know.
That's funny
because
I also was like, wow, right, someone else called in like the time that we've been sitting here. That's
to
awesome.
Replay,
dude, we're
press
idiots.
One, press 2 to delete. Press 3. Message deleted.
Number 10.
Today is the day that the next generation video format wars end anyway.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
We have a winner.
It's over.
It's HD DVD.
Yes, tell them why, Jeff.
Because today.
Today.
Tuesday.
September 26th.
Today is the day that you can purchase the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift on HD DVD.
Word.
It is out.
Oh,
in stores now.
Buy that.
Buy that.
How much does it cost on HD?
I have no idea. I don't care.
$750.
I might go buy it on HD DVD right now and just wait for the 360 HD DVD drive to come out before I can even watch it.
Just be sure you have it before it sells out.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's gonna wildfire right there, man.
They were using it for demos.
So we're sitting in the audience of the Microsoft press conference, and Brad is like furiously like live blogging away to report the events of it, and I'm on camera duty, so I'm taking still photos of the event, and mostly it's just Sensui and all the other guys just kind of standing there holding stuff, and Peter Moore comes out and there's slides behind him that say "Do games" and all this crap. But when they get to the HD DVD drive part, they start showing clips from the Fast and the Furious, and I bet if you looked at all the photos I took, over half of them are of Fast and the Furious.
It's a good movie.
Like they started showing like picture in picture where they've got a guy talking about the making of the movie while the movie's still playing, and you pull out the menus while the movie's still playing.
Oh my goodness!
So it was pretty intense.
Although to be honest, that movie is a total triangle in that it starts up high really good, and then you just kind of get on the way down.
Whatever, it's a triangle in that it's very sturdy and unbreakable.
Yeah, I'm just saying is that like if you're way into drift racing, then you'll like that movie. But like by the end of the movie, it's like I get it. Here comes a turn. They're gonna go sideways around it. Like they're in these stupid pimped out cars.
It's not about just the drifting, man.
It's about dropping the hammer and going, and they don't do that enough.
It's about life. It's about living life, man.
How come I never seen you drift?
It's about living.
It's about not Paul Walker.
It's about life, and it's about love, and it's about finishing what you started, man.
Hulk cars.
It's about the Hulk car.
Yeah.
I love that damn movie. I don't care. Like, legitimately. I'm not even saying so bad it's good. I just love that damn movie. and I hate myself for it, and I, you know, but I don't care. I just don't care.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of feel like I want to throw up right now, and I'm not sure if it's because I'm sick or if it's because of what I'm hearing out of Jeff's mouth.
I might have to go just buy it on DVD.
I think I might actually need to wander off.
Get out of here.
All right.
Thanks for stopping by, Alex.
Yeah, I'm going to duck out.
All right, we'll see you soon.
DVD and HD DVD. That way I can just watch it and then... and then get it, and then watch it better.
Man, Alex is actually like sick. That's good. We've never had that happen, I don't think.
Wow. We've had like fire drills interrupt the show.
There's that time we like had to wait 45 minutes for Carrie to come back from the Mongolian shoe barbecue.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's our first like actual injury.
Workman's comp.
Whatever, man. Yeah. I'll talk about Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift until you're all. It'll just be me here talking about it. You guys will be somewhere throwing up.
I can talk about it too.
Yeah, you will.
Come on now. I saw it twice.
Now, Paul Walker's not actually in that
movie. No, he's not.
But he doesn't need to be.
No. Yeah,
that's the beautiful part.
What movie has ever actually needed Paul Walker? I want to know.
Running Scared would not have been the same without Paul Walker. That movie's only okay. Although it had blacklit hockey, which is awesome.
I still refuse to support it.
Why?
Because much like that movie Crash that came out,
yeah,
stole the name of a better movie.
Yeah, that'll do it.
You know, the Running Scared, yep. Billy Crystal, Gregory Hines, yeah, great
Gregory
movie.
Hines, yeah. Gregory Hines, phenomenal dancer.
Dude, that guy can move.
Number 9.
We are talking about Hideo Kojima's blog.
Yeah.
It's now in English.
Yes.
Now, Carrie, I want you to give us a brief introduction, and then Jeff is going to read some excerpts.
So basically, for a while, I think since September, Hideo Kojima has been updating a blog in Japanese, where he has been speaking on his most deep, intimate thoughts, like you do on blogs.
Right.
Talking about game designing and just stuff.
Sure.
I guess there's not as much, you know, content about, it's not so much about Metal Gear and the production of those games, but it just kind of how he feels about things and what bands he likes.
Yeah, Jeff,
what mood he's in, if he's, you know.
It's about Linkin Park and how, you know, he totally got snubbed at the library the other day.
Jeff, please read us some excerpts here.
Okay, so this one is a little more personal entry from the man we all know and love. At this time of the year, I tend to catch an affectation. This is much more troublesome than a cold.
Mm.
The affectation caught up with me this year. After TGS, it has become most troublesome. Loneliness. I feel almost to the point of being crushed by it. Isolation. I must press through this. I should shop for a new leather jacket. A new jacket will protect me from the loneliness carried on the wind.
Now,
this
is well written, I would say. You know, this is 100% exactly what I expect to find on a blog. It's just what makes this noteworthy. It's that it's coming from Hideo Kojima.
All right, so wait, hold on. You got this guy who's in the public eye.
Right.
And everybody's sort of, you know, watching him, following his every word. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those crazy Kojima fanatics, so I don't know if they're in this room or not, but, you know.
Carrie.
Shut up. And he's putting something out there that, at the risk of translation, is going to come off sounding not what he intended, you know. But also, just putting stuff out there, like the kind of stuff that you would find in a diary. And, you know, as quote-unquote cheesy, or, you know, as it may sound, you know, he's actually going to the lengths to talk about personal feelings and to be sort of poetic. And, you know, I know you guys are all manly men and can't handle that, but it's, I don't know, it's respectable to me and interesting to me, being a fan. You guys don't have to read it if you don't want to, at the risk of using a forum excuse.
Well, ultimately, I think it's just goes back to just blogs are just bad ideas.
But Jeff, you write in a blog on our website. So
about games. About games, not about
the loneliness
how I want
on
to
the
do. Yeah, exactly. So it's I think ultimately it's like I'm not necessarily interested in that Hideo Kojima wants a new leather jacket. I specifically want to know more about his games.
Right, but that's what developer interviews are for. And the fact that he wants to buy a new leather jacket is something that's of interest to someone like me who has taken an interest in Hideo Kojima beyond just the games that he makes. And on a personal level, like, I think this guy is cool. He must be cool to have made this game. I'd like to know more about him. Or even for people who, you know, they want to be designers, they have an interest in it, they
want
to see
or they
what
want a new
like.
Leather jacket.
Or people who like leather jackets or like poetry about the wind in Japan.
And now people are just like hanging and they're like, is he going to buy the jacket?
Yeah.
What kind of jacket is he going to buy?
I hope he posts a
picture of himself wearing the leather jacket. It's just, I don't know, it's ridiculous.
Behold the power of the internet.
It's just, it's a too meta conversation, meta for me. You know,
I think, as Kerry said, it's great for fans of Hideo Kojima. I think it's mighty bold and brave of him as a public figure to do this. I am not going to.
I just hope it doesn't take us down that slippery slope of, you know, the rest of the entertainment industry where, you know, we've got reality shows that follow Ashley Simpson and Paris Hilton around everywhere and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah. Well, what's the harm, though, if they do? I mean, there's one thing that reality shows kind of pollute TV and there's too many of them or whatever.
This is polluting my internet.
Yeah. You know what? There's a lot of things that pollute your internet, true. Bob.
Yeah, well, so why add to it? You know,
I'm not calling myself a public figure, Kerry. I was going to say, as a regular guy or manly man, as you called us, I'm not going to do this, and this is brave. And as someone who has such long cutscenes in his games, this is the exact kind of stuff I expect him to be thinking.
Exactly. And there are those of us who appreciate those long cutscenes, and there are those of you who don't.
And now we've told our listeners about it, and if they feel either way, now they can go read it, or they can join Jeff in not reading it.
Yeah. I think I'm going to post on my GameSpot journal my reactions to his GameSpot journal, if that's not meta enough for you there,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah, that's like, yeah.
Like today interspersing I read with like Kojima's journal. I had feelings of elation, and
it made me want
maybe want to go spin records Thursday nights at a club up the street. You know, it's just like so ridiculous.
Number 8.
I have here in front of me.
I was asking
a copy of Perfect Dark Initial Vector.
What is that?
It's the Perfect Dark book that, as they say here, says continuing the epic story featured in the Xbox 360 game Perfect Dark Zero.
Oh. Book? You mean there's like words and stuff I have to read?
There are words in this book. There's some kind of story. I just want to read a few sentences that I just kind of opened it at random and found these and then decided I wanted to share them with everyone.
Whatever, dude. You've read the whole thing 3 times.
I literally just got it this morning, so I've only read it twice.
Nice.
This is chapter 2. Joanna Dark was tired of killing. Her lungs burned for air. The muscles in her thighs, back, and arm ached. And her mouth felt filled with hot sand. Sweat stung her eyes, blurring her vision. Perspiration running freely down her face and neck, soaking her shirt until it felt 5 pounds heavier in water weight alone. Blood and smoke burns peppered her skin.
Stop.
All right, no, okay, that yeah.
Dude, totally stop.
So, in short, this book is amazing.
What was that? Was not.
I have no idea.
About
that's
a video
totally
game.
Out of context. I don't even know what. I don't know. The back of it says the year is 2020. Corporations control everything, and then it kind of
are you
going to
read it
from there, dude? No,
I'll read it this weekend and give you a full report. Okay. On next week's hotspot.
If you buy that book, you're a bad person.
Actually, let me see it real quick. I want to see how big the words are.
The words are awfully big.
Oh yeah, also I can read this.
It's like choose your own adventure.
Print. It's like they printed it for, you know, 80-year-olds.
I'll read that whole thing and I'll write about it.
Okay.
I promise you that.
All right. And let me know, because, you know, who knows? I might read it. You never know.
Sure. Last week, Jeff threw down the gauntlet. That is Greg Rucka's Perfect Dark Initial Vector, all 350 pages of it. And I said,
of large print.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say all 330 print. Words of it.
Exactly. And I actually had it finished by like Friday morning after Thanksgiving, I think.
Nice.
It was a very easy read. I did have to buckle down a couple times and stick with it. But the review is in, and it is really not worth buying. Mm. Like, if you need something to read, like, on the can or, like, at the beach or something, this can probably fill the time because you'll feel like you're getting a lot done because you're just turning pages so quickly.
And it is legible.
That's what magazines are for.
And it's got some great style. Like, all the little breaks are, like, barcodes and stuff. And basically, the storyline is post-Perfect Dark Zero, pre-Perfect Dark for the Nintendo 64. Mm-hmm. Describes how Joanna Dark becomes a part of the Carrington Institute.
Okay.
Carrington, isn't that like Dynasty, that old
TV
drama?
Yes, it is exactly.
Awesome.
Yes.
She joins the cast of Dynasty.
Yes.
Goes to the
Joan
Emmys.
Joan Collins and everything.
And totally craps all over Knott's Landing. It's awesome.
Basically,
nice.
Basically there's
Crest.
A...
Yeah, Falcon's Crest gets dissed!
There's a flu that kills millions of people in Canada. And
just like real life.
And Datadyne
Bird
is searching for a
ripped
new,
from today's headlines.
A new CEO.
It's like Law and Order or something.
And there's a conspiracy and the Carrington Institute gets involved and Joanna Dark. And let's just read this, shall we?
Okay.
The whole thing?
Silent.
No.
Everyone be quiet.
I'm going to give you a paragraph. So she, basically, it's just a setup. Joanna Dark has been convinced by the Carrington Institute to help them extract an officer, and she does not like the fact that, well, I'll just read it. All right. And it was in that cargo hold, hugging her knees to her chest, that Joanna Dark realized, with a sudden burst of self-loathing and horror, that she was a killer. She was a stone-cold killer, the kind of person her father had hunted during his life, the kind of person who took lives without hesitating, without thinking of consequences. She was Datadyne in Micro. She was the enemy. So basically, there's a lot of turmoil here. You know, Joanna, you know, struggling with inner demons because...
palpable.
You have to feel something between the first fight and the last fight, and they just have her run away, and people go look for her. Pretty much that's how it goes.
You ruined the book for me, man.
She was a killer, and that was the only way to explain how she could do what she did. How it was that when she fired a gun, the bullet went exactly where she wanted it to go. How it was that she could be so quick and everyone else around her could be so slow. Mm. How it was that she could lose herself in a fight as if she had not one, but two brains.
Whoa.
As if the Joe trapped... I'm sorry, this part's great. As if the Joe trapped inside her skull was only one part of her. And that when the bullets and the explosions and the violence all came, another Joe emerged, standing on the outside, guiding her effortlessly, making her leap and tumble and roll and kill.
Tapping into the anger that all men have. Dr. David Banner.
She was a killer, and it was right that she was, and the realization sickened her to her very core. More of that is available in Greg Rucka's Perfect Dark Initial Vector.
So Greg Rucka's basically garbage. He writes nothing but crap.
Come on. I'm telling you right now, as soon as the show's over, I'm reading that book.
Okay.
Greg Rucka is getting a bad rap here. I'm here to defend him. He's done some great comic stuff. He's done some great novels. Done some really great espionage novels based on, like, the British SIS. It's really good stuff. Really complex. Really layered. Really gripping and emotional.
A lot of stuff, emotional stuff like that about two brains.
Well, actually, it's it's funny. The lead character in Queen and Country is a female super spy.
Oh.
So this is not new territory for Mr. Rucka.
Well, why didn't he just find and replace that character? Name with Joanna Dark and then just turn it in as this book.
I think he did.
Oh.
I will not pass judgment on the author because as I guess this feels like a paying the bills.
Yeah. Totally.
There's one part where Joanna Dark or someone's about to get handcuffs put on them, and in one paragraph they're called plastic cuffs, and in the next paragraph it talks about the clink of metal of the handcuffs. It seems like it was kind of rushed. And
skip Initial Vector, buy Queen and Country.
There you go, or borrow it from your local library,
or borrow
it
from me.
Yeah, borrow it
and
from Ryan.
Definitely don't borrow Rich's copy of Perfect Dark because he just been reading it on the can. I mean, he just told you don't borrow that one.
All right, whatever.
That's my copy of the book.
Oh.
Not anymore.
I think you better let him keep that one, Jeff.
Number 7.
Hey, I'm down in the His House with the TC Posse. I was wondering if you guys are looking for a new ride. You know, that 360 with the 20-inch chrome rims. We got the mad hookup and you need that used game fix. Can't hate on our used games. Booyah! All you players crazy tight with the GC need them pre-orders, yard. Just ask for No Web Basic and y'all get the hookup, son. Yay!
Boom. Yeah, you got that, Playboy. I'll be down there. We're going to hook it up real big. You know what I'm saying? Do it real, real big with the big dog pit bull. Yo, Rich, drop a bomb on it, son.
Can we give some point of reference to people who don't know what's going on?
We talked about it last week on the show. Okay. Everyone, if you go
Rewind
to
that!
You need to go to Remix. Is that what you're
Remix! Yeah.
There's a great
Master Jeff.
There's a great Game Crazy training video out there. Find it, watch it, YouTube. Yeah, it's there. Look for it.
That's all we have to say. Thanks, Tom.
Put your life on dubs.
Yeah.
Number 6.
We have Gears of War making it into the Japanese overall top 10 sales.
Holy Mary, motherfucker. I don't know what that, I mean. So basically all 9 people who own an Xbox 360 in Japan bought that game?
It's for the weekly sales for its first week out, and it was number 7 on the charts with 33,212 copies sold. That doesn't seem like a lot when you consider it sold 3 million copies worldwide, like 1.8 million in the U.S., I think, in 2006.
But when you consider the population of Japan and
the number
of 360s that have been sold over there, which I think is
33,212.
Right, something like that. Yeah. I want to say it's like 130,000 or 300,000. It's some number that is not much more than the 33,000 copies they sold. Don't look to this for this to be on the bestseller list for a long time.
No.
Because everyone who wanted one just bought it.
And the real reason why we're bringing up the story is because we just love the top 10 list. We run it through Babelfish and we've come out with some crazy games.
It's actually a top 30 list.
Oh my gosh. The number one game, though, is .hackGU Volume 3. 136,790 copies sold.
Oh, it's not at Volume 3.
Japan is so messed up.
At the kind of speed with which you walk. Is the subtitle.
Yeah, the butchered translations are always the
best. Yeah, so you guys look for some butchered translations.
Hey,
I'm going to mention the real
six?
Games.
Well, let's go down. Shadow Spelling.
I'm pretty sure that's Disgaea 2.
That's still awesome.
Labyrinth of the Worldwide Tree, which I think is actually just the fountain on Nintendo DS.
Number 9.
Rachel Weisz in a DS game.
Yes.
Number 2 is Wario Master of Disguise for the DS. Just came out there, sold 90,000 copies.
Wario the 7.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Can I read number 9?
Yes. Only if I can read number 10.
Okay. Number 9, Sensible Power Training DS of the Adult Whose Supervision Japanese Sensible Power Official Approval Association After So Long Time Cannot Be Heard in the Person.
So that's Brain Age.
Yeah. And, and I believe Toku University Future Technology Collaborative Research Center Kamisawa Ryuta Professor Supervision DS Training of the Adult Who More Forges the Brain is also Brain Age.
Brain Age 2.
Another Brain Age.
Yeah. But I think number 19 actually is my favorite.
Okay.
Chinese Inspection Foundation Japanese-Chinese Character Performance Test Association Official Software 210,000 Finnish Chinese Character Brain. Huh?
Where's my favorite one of this?
Yeah.
You mean DS Training of the Adult Who Is Poor English It Is to Obtain the Soaking?
Yeah.
No.
You mean Being Excited Track/Truck?
Which may or may not be Excite Truck.
Or do you mean With It Is and How It Hits the Forest?
Yes! With It Is and How It Hits the Forest.
You know, it hits the forest hard, son!
You know what, though? My favorite, though, is number 30 for the Nintendo DS. Foppish Witch Love and Vary the DS Collection.
That's a Sega game.
Yeah.
Does that feel the magic?
We need to import
it is. Something.
What was mine? How It Hits the Forest? How It Is?
With It Is and How It Hits the Forest.
Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
That's Animal Crossing for the DS.
That makes a spectacular amount of sense.
So congratulations to Gears of War for making it on such a illustrious list.
Yeah, it's up there with Blue Dragon.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, Blue Dragon made that list, I believe.
Sure.
When it came out. So yeah. 360... Gaining a little ground. Come on.
What I'd like to know is if the sales numbers for the 360 spiked at all in the last, since Blue Dragon and Gears of War have been released over there.
Apparently, and this is just word of mouth or whatever, but apparently like the limited edition Blue Dragon
the 360 pack just sold out.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
I appreciate that Microsoft refuses to back down in Japan, that they're actually still
going
for it.
Yeah, they're like, whatever, we're going to keep at it, and I'm sure they're very grateful to all the Japanese publishers and developers that are still hanging in there, and like Capcom doing stuff like Lost Planet and Dead Rising and stuff.
Number 5.
We are such big fans of viral marketing around here.
Oh, yes.
I love it. That's what probably been my favorite part about moving to San Francisco is that you are all of a sudden subjected to all this kinds of crazy advertising that isn't found anywhere else because the ad agencies are here. So, like, you will step off a train and there will be an old woman with an umbrella playing an acoustic guitar asking you, why are you yelling into your cell phone?
You're telling me that you didn't have that in L.A.?
No, I didn't. There aren't trains in L.A.
No, they're just crazy like that in L.A. by themselves.
Hey, I saw Speed. I know they have a subway, all right?
I never
Nobody uses it.
Yeah.
But now in L.A. and San Francisco and New York and Philadelphia and Chicago, there's all this street art that looks very similar. Bob, what is this street art?
Basically, they are urban-styled children characters, and they're all playing with a PSP, but they're these oversized PSPs that are in weird
shapes. To show detail.
Right. Like, one kid is a girl riding a PSP like a skateboard. Another one shows a kid licking one like a popsicle. I don't even gonna go further into that.
That's just Neckface's new thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's
Neckface.
Neckface is just going around putting he's just into the PSP.
German fat caps.
Him and bird flu. But there's a great quote on here from the technology site Pop Gadget. Alex, could you read the quote for us?
Yeah, this is from someone named Michelle, quote unquote.
And basically it says, is anyone else concerned that Sony PlayStation paid someone to vandalize our neighborhood to sell their latest toy? It's quite obviously an advertisement. When I called PlayStation Consumer Services this morning, they claimed to know nothing about the campaign. I guess there's just some clever youngster out there in LH that just really loves the PSP and wants the whole world to know about it.
And has since gone to San Francisco, New York, Philadelphia, and Chicago.
Oh, Neckface gets around, man.
Oh, but there's more.
Oh, there's more.
Yes. I called the city today to have the stencils on the back of Juan's Market painted over. For some strange reason, I'd rather see my friendly local gang lay claim to that wall than have it given over to some crappy corporation in their urban marketing campaign. Ouch! Is all I can say for Sony.
Oh, Michelle.
Word.
Oh, no, but Sony had nothing to do with it.
Right. Like it is Michelle.
No, that's what they said, man.
Well, yeah, you can't expect the dude what answers the phone for customer service to know about the crappy viral marketing campaign that some other department is running on the low.
Or they hired someone else to do.
Right, exactly. Some third party. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like the actual corporations never get their hands dirty with this stuff. They always just contract out to a viral marketing firm. This is, we know how to speak to the kids in their own language. We're hip and cool.
Right, except that it's illegal.
Do you guys want a party? Let's party with a PSP. Yeah, no, it's, and then they can just kind of keep their hands clean. And then if anything goes bad, they can just be like, oh, we didn't know that they were going to do that. We just wanted them to post on the GameSpot message boards and talk about how much they love games that are crappy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that never happens.
No.
No.
I want a theory. How many viral marketers do you think are on the GameSpot forums at any time?
At any given time? 20.
There's that. It's awesome. System Wars.
A lot of them aren't even posting. They're just reading people's posts to find out, what are the kids into these days?
Right.
What are they
so
talking about?
So they can
about?
Write up reports or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, no. I mean, we have certainly had cases where we have banned accounts from the forums because they're obviously viral marketing scumbags.
And just think of all the ones that are too smart.
Let
to
it out,
caught.
Jeff.
Exactly. No, I'm sure that there are plenty out there that are a little slyer, a little quicker on the uptake, that know how to keep it quiet and actually post about other stuff than the game they're supposed to be hyping.
And then there's like the one with like three posts and they're all about one game.
Yeah, they're all about one game. Like, why do you like Madden so much?
And
come
really,
and play NFL.
They're all really
something.
Poorly worded.
They're all just like, you know what I'm saying, yo? I think Crime Life Gang Wars is the best game I have played all year. What do you guys think? I think you should try it. It is the best. Come to my website. And then like another account replies with its first post by saying, you are right. I have heard a lot of reviewers do not like this game, but they are wrong. This Crime Life Gang Wars is the best Xbox game I have played in a very long time.
And then there's like a link to the game's website that isn't even hyperlinked.
Yeah,
it's
like,
just,
go
yeah.
check out the official site for the real deal, because these two cool for school game reviewers obviously do not know what they are talking about. Crime Life Gang Wars is in stores now, and you should pick it up because it's the bomb.
Yeah, that game's real good.
But that's just a purely hypothetical situation.
Oh, yes.
No one from Crime Life Gang Wars has done that yet, too, to the best of our knowledge.
Exactly, and it would be a real tough sell because that game is complete garbage.
I'm not trying to rally a militia or anything, but you know, just people.
I, however, am.
All right. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
If you are a gun owner and want to hang out in the woods with me and
in Montana,
the government,
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that 100% of our listeners are responsible with their video game choices, but also at least 95% of them would be willing to follow Jeff into Montana and start up a ranch.
Hoo-ah.
We'll hang out. We'll play Crime Life Gang Wars.
What is that game? Is that one just came out? Or?
Yeah, it's Konami's urban-themed beat-em-up that's right in the same line as like 187 Ride or Die or 50 Cent Bullet.
G-Ride.
Hey, but it's got D12 in it.
Except for Eminem.
Oh,
the one member of D12 you can probably name. Yeah, it's got music from D12, and they're in the game too. Well, five of them are.
Sure, there aren't 12 of them.
They each have a dual person. Man, I need to explain this to you every week.
Yeah, sorry, me and D12. Yeah,
they each have two names.
Number four.
Word, man, that had to be Jeff. That's my man, Jeff. Listen, I'll be watching. If you guys don't know who I am, man, this is Chrome from Brooklyn. Man, this is the East Coast calling GameSpot. Man, I've been messing with your website since I was a youngin', you know? I'm in college right now. I'm still I'm still messing with GameSpot. Excuse my French. Let me just say something. I love what you guys do. Jeff, Alex, you guys make me crack up. You guys are funny. You're not like the other websites, which shows your originality. I love what you guys do, period. Why I'm calling in, you know, I have no clue I'm calling in. I'm just calling in to show you guys love. And I just want you to hear this and laugh and say, that dude is funny. I want to give a shout-out to everybody at GameSpot. You guys keep doing what you're doing. You know, Jeff, you hold down on the spot. You do your thing, man. I see you on the spot. I see you holding down. You're the new lead head of the game. You do your thing, man. The skate review is a little harsh, you know, but I agree with you. You know, a little harsh, but I agree with you. But a little harsh, you know, a little harsh, but I agree with you. I love everything you guys do. I'm talking a lot. I love GameSpot. Can you believe it? It's me, Cole Carr from Brooklyn, New York, man. EG East, man. And Jeff, he's hood, man. I swear, you go in any hood, and no one will touch him. He's a G. Holler at me. I love
games,
but do what you do
and
you do it best one.
Brooklyn!
Yeah. Jeff, I know he had some sound advice there, but I do not think that you should go into any hood.
Oh,
people might touch you.
Brendan, I'm a G.
I'm not disputing this.
Thanks, Chrome. That was we normally try to stay away from just the compliment calls.
That's sheer adulation.
A handy testimonial.
But yeah, that
tell your friends.
That did make us laugh.
And, that was great, man. Yeah. It was like best call ever.
that was really nice of him.
And we will keep on doing it.
We will try, and thank you so much for calling in and sharing that
much
with
love
us.
Right back.
I don't think there was a question in there.
I don't.
I think
you're right.
I think
a little harsh.
A little harsh. Yeah. Well, Skate has some issues.
Yeah. A little harsh, but I agree.
Jeff is
wearing.
I'm wearing the shoes from Skate. I bought the limited edition shoes that they're selling in Skate.
Wow.
You did?
He has his foot on the desk right now.
So first the voice tells you to get the helmet.
There's
and
a game
then...
character in the sole of the
yeah.
shoe.
Yeah, that's Gonzalez.
Somebody's trapped
wow.
in there.
Wow. You really did it.
Yeah. Jeez. So at 2 points in the game, you beat skaters in pro challenges, and it pops up and says, "Hey, man, did you know that Adidas makes shoes? It's awesome. You should go on his website. We make custom shoes."
Damn it, dude. I was so hoping that you were going to say that it lets you buy the shoes from within the game.
No, but it generates a promo code that gives you $50 off the shoes.
Wow.
Dang,
it actually $50. Hits a server
how much is
and makes
a shoe?
It $150.
But you have to beat a specific challenge
yeah.
to get that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
$150 for a shoe?
That's actually pretty cheap, dude.
What?
They only made 500 pairs of these, apparently.
Oh, my goodness! Yeah. How many helmets did they make?
Well, this one is numbered 302,494. So
Trump.
They made some.
Number three.
This is a story that was a lot more fun to make fun of before this recent update. But maybe we'll still find something for it.
I think it's still pretty easily
okay,
made fun
it's pretty good. All right. There's as we know, GameSpot News likes to keep up on the stock tips and SEC filings and everything. And in a Take-Two filing with the SEC, it was revealed that 3D Realms has a $500,000 incentive to finish Duke Nukem Forever by the end of this year.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
So it's going to happen, right?
Not according to George Broussard.
$500,000. Why wouldn't you finish it, right?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's money. That's bank.
That's totally bank.
Right.
What did George Broussard say, Brad?
He said, nah.
Okay.
He said, when it's done.
Yeah, basically.
He said the
3D Realms company line at this point. When it's done. Yeah.
It's been
yeah.
in development since 1997.
At this point.
And apparently they just got the guns working.
What's another year or two when it's been almost a decade in there?
Yeah. Why would... Okay.
Well, here it comes. Here it comes.
Imagine how much time at 3D Realms has been wasted keeping this game current with the times. If they are still actually working on it and still planning on releasing it, this game was like the Quake 2 engine at some point.
Yep.
Like, what are they doing? What could they possibly be doing... this game is not done yet.
I've said it 1,000 times. The game is a lie. It never existed. It is a way to get money out of Activision keep George Broussard's internet porn collection going.
Seriously. Okay, they probably generated assets 3 or 4 times and had to dump them all or go back to them all because they just weren't good enough anymore. Think about how far games have come since 1997.
We do have screenshots and a trailer up on the site, which I think might have been from E3
from
2001.
From like 99
or 2000.
Yeah, 98
like
or 99.
Well, at
yeah.
that point, I think it was using like the Unreal 1 or Unreal Tournament, I think, is the engine.
Yeah, maybe.
At that point.
Yeah. And so like I was on a bus with some people that work in the video game business at
uh-huh.
some pre-E3 event like 3 years ago, and I heard one guy turn to the other and go, you know, I got to go see Duke Nukem Forever. It's looking all right. And that was 3 years ago, and it's still not out. So even if what he saw then looked good, how can it possibly look good now? They have to be doing like the most amazing, not a generic first-person shooter gameplay with that, or
they need to be riding the bleeding edge of technology, but I just can't imagine they're doing either at this point, and it's just ridiculous.
The game will come out, it will be $20.
And, you know, of course, anytime anyone says anything about Duke Nukem Forever other than, like, I can't wait for it to come out, dude! Or, I don't care! There's always George Broussard going, like, oh, you'll see.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe we will all see.
I think we're starting to see some cracks in the facade in the last few months.
Yeah.
If you've kept up with any of the comments, he's been, because he's always speaking out on message boards and stuff.
Because he has that much time, apparently.
Apparently. Sure. Yeah. And lately, he hasn't been defending the game quite as hard.
Yeah.
There have been a couple of quotes, like some magazine got to go see the game a few months ago, and they've got him quoted in there being just like, "We at this point, we just want to get the game done."
Well, then what are you doing?
Don't yell at me.
What's 3D Realms doing? Are they publishing Prey? Are they developing Prey?
They're involved. Yeah,
that game looks cool.
Like, that game got killed and revitalized, and it's coming out before Duke Nukem.
And that looks awesome.
I mean, they did.
I wouldn't go that far, but all right.
That game looks awesome to me. Art Bell coming through.
Art Bell is totally in that game. Yeah. But like 3D Realms, like made. I think they made a huge chunk of money. I mean, obviously they made a ton of money off Duke Nukem, but then they made like a really good sizable chunk of cash off of Max Payne.
Yeah, they helped somehow with the development of
that
game.
So, you know, then they found Remedy and Finder's Fee, whatever. So, you know, they've got no problem with money. They've been self-funding it. So, you know, yeah, like George Broussard says, they're not going to rush it now. And really, why bother?
All right, well, let's move on. We'll learn more about Duke Nukem Forever as its release date of December 31st approaches. It's coming out this year.
Stop saying that. Is that what we just came up to?
Is that the game's coming out this year?
Yeah, totally.
It will come out on December 31st.
Right, actually, it's a Wii launch game, October 18th.
Cool.
Number two.
Lay it on me, man.
It is a handheld gaming device.
Okay.
It comes with GPS.
So I never get lost. Okay,
exactly.
Sure.
A whole bunch of games.
Games?
And it's yours for the low price of $229, but you have to watch ads while you play games. Huh?
Well, how are the games?
Oh, you tell me. We're talking about the Gizmondo, obviously, which recently launched.
All right, hold on. Let me. We both played a bunch of Gizmondo games.
Yeah.
As recently as the event last week, we have not yet played Gizmondo games on U.S. systems. Does that mean that they're going to be any different than the ones we played on the U.K. systems? Probably not at all.
No, probably not. I mean, yeah, we've been playing U.K. Gizmondo games for some time now. Sticky Balls, Fat Hammer Classics, all that stuff.
Colors.
Do they have Mama, Can I Mow the Lawn?
That's not coming out here. I don't think that's out in the UK yet.
I'm canceling my pre-order.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing, the games aren't fun. It's the graphic quality is probably like sub-DS from what I've played so far. It's just kind of a wash. It's like, well, and on top of that, the demo units we have, the GPS doesn't even work on them, so.
Well, that's because they haven't been programmed for this area.
So, yeah.
I mean, all right, in a perfect scenario, if the GPS were working and if you really could run around your neighborhood with a copy of Colors and if there were other people in your neighborhood that had that game and were playing it,
sure.
That would be really cool. Ambitious,
sure.
Innovative concept that you're looking for. It's just that the practicality of it.
It's just that I played a preview build of Colors and it was no good. So that's
there you go.
Large problems with the Gizmondo.
Let's talk about a couple more. I'm like right now it has launched. So does that mean I can run to Best Buy? I can run down to EB or GameStop and I can buy one of these and take it home with me?
Oh heck no.
No.
How do you get a Gizmondo?
I heard they're selling them in Tijuana.
Yeah. There's this dude in TJ. You have to walk. Walk up to him with a raw egg.
Uh-huh.
You have to hand him the egg to get in the building.
Yep.
And once you do that, once you get inside, they have a Gizmondo that they'll let you look at.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you agree to sign a whole bunch of paperwork saying that you won't disparage the Gizmondo and that you really, really want one, and then give them like, you know, whatever, $400, they might ship one to you at some point in the future. So it's like they say it launched on October 22nd, but all that means is they updated their website and apparently they have like 9 or 10 mall-based kiosks where you can order one. You can't even go buy one from these kiosks.
That's
apparently.
So weird that it's like the launch of a system and to get it, you have to go next to the cart where they sell the blinky little buttons for your
right.
cell phone and order one.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's not entirely unheard of. I mean, that's kind of how the Zodiac launched and you saw how well that did.
It's
everywhere. Everyone has a Zodiac.
It's got that game where you like fire a satellite at people and you zap them on city streets. It's cool.
I think in more interesting Gizmondo news, they announced that they were they kind of figured out some kind of mafia ties with the guy from UK.
Really?
So it's a huge conspiracy theory going on, and like this guy's got mafia ties.
I thought he was from Sweden.
Or Sweden. Or Finland. Sorry, yeah, Sweden. Whatever.
They have mafia in Sweden?
Apparently.
See, it's fake already.
There's all kinds of drama going on. No, I mean, I don't think it's good news for them, so I don't think it's, like, fake to make them look more hip. I just think that's pretty interesting, Gizmondo.
Ex-Gizmondo exec crashes Ferrari.
Oh, no!
Oh, my goodness. I said the G word. I said it. Okay, so according to news reports, Stefan Eriksson was in a red 2003 Ferrari Enzo when the car, estimated at a value of $1 million, slammed into a pole on the PCH in Malibu, doing 100 to 120 miles per hour.
Dude, you totaled your Ferrari.
It's not mine. I got it with Gizmondo funds. So, neither is this.
Apparently, he was racing someone else who was in a Mercedes SLR.
Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't racing.
No, he wasn't. The cars were racing.
Right.
And so the SLR won because it came away unscathed. The Enzo was split in half.
Yep.
And here's the best part is that when police arrived, Eriksson denied that he was driving.
That's because he was over the legal alcohol
limit.
Who was driving?
Well, let's see.
Paul Walker.
Eriksson told officials that he was not driving the vehicle, and the man behind the wheel, who Eriksson knew only as a German man named Dietrich, had fled the scene.
Dietrich.
Both airbags deployed, but blood was only found on the driver's side airbag, leading officials to question the existence of Dietrich.
Yeah, no! Because amazingly enough, Eriksson survived this crash with minor injuries, but he did have a bloody mouth. But there's only blood on the driver's side airbag.
Nope. It makes perfect sense. He lets a man he doesn't know, but any other name than Dietrich, drive his
million dollar
Enzo and drag race someone else while he's drunk.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was drunk.
Well, here's the
question. And then the guy just runs away.
Designated
Wouldn't
driver.
Wouldn't you? If you totaled some dude's Ferrari, you'd be like, I gotta get out of here.
well, let's get to the real meat of the issue here.
You don't need to know my last name. Just call me Dietrich. I'm out. Peace.
Exactly.
Off into the woods.
This is $1 million car, and we're going to assume that this $1 million came from the Gizmondo Fund salary.
We're going to assume that.
Let's say that $1 million, instead of being given to Stefan Eriksson, was used to rent mall kiosks.
Okay.
All right.
We did a little research, and it seems like depending on how big your kiosk in the mall is, you can get it. You can lease it for $2,000 to $10,000 a month.
All right.
So,
yeah.
So if it's $2,000 a month to rent a mall kiosk,
this is a word problem, isn't it?
How many mall kiosks could that $1 million have gotten? How many months worth?
All right. Let's cue the Jeopardy music.
Exactly. I'll just tell you. If it's $2,000, it's 500 months worth of mall kiosk space.
Wow.
So that could be 500 different malls you have a kiosk in for a month. It could be 50. You get it in there for like 10 months each. You know, you could double up and get two kiosks in the same.
Whoa.
In 250
that's a lot
malls
of mall kiosks there, Rich.
It is. And
how many Gizmondos do you think would have sold had they done that?
Three.
How many more?
Three.
That's the bonus. That's the extra credit question. I wasn't going that far. Okay. But kids, the lesson here is if you want a Ferrari Enzo, start a handheld company and get the money up front.
And but don't let Dietrich drive it. Man.
Are we ready for some emails here,
Me
Bob?
And Dietrich were hanging out the other week, dude. That guy's crazy.
Yeah, that guy's
what he was
nuts.
Wasted.
Jeff, what did he do to your Enzo?
Dude, Dietrich stole my Enzo.
There's only 400 Enzos in existence, by the way.
Exactly. Jeff Gerstmann had one of them.
I had one.
Until Dietrich took it.
Dietrich said he needed one for this other thing.
Seriously.
And I owe him some money for this sports betting thing. And, Dietrich just said he had to borrow it, and that was the way it was. He let me borrow his Nova.
Once again, we like to say,
Novas
here,
are cool.
This, I feel, we're finally ready to close the door, almost.
No, man, this story is never going to end.
All right.
this is the beginning.
Is this really the real beginning?
Yeah. Yes.
It is on now. Stefan Eriksson has been arrested.
No way, dude.
Yeah, Bob, what
you mean he's not?
Wait.
He's not.
The ex-Gizmondo exec / ex-Ferrari Enzo owner / ex-free man.
Ex-Dietrich
Dietrich friend, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, he's been taken into custody after police searched his home in Bel Air, which is, you know,
Gated neighborhood
of Bel Air next to the Fresh Prince. So the cops found another Enzo. This guy had two Enzos.
Awesome.
Aren't there only like 300 in the world?
Awesome.
Not anymore.
Well, he wrecked one, so now it's 299. But they found another one there and another rare Mercedes
maybe not the same one he was supposedly racing, that SL.
The Los Angeles Times and the San Francisco Chronicle have gone crazy on this.
Yeah, they're eating it up.
It's nice to know that something that we kind of treated as a joke is like in-depth expose material for these two major newspapers.
So these cars were actually owned by some foreign banks. Erickson and his wife stopped making payments on them, but they're still driving them around in Bel Air, which is cool.
Awesome.
Without licenses.
Yeah, and so then, remember how Erickson had a Homeland Security ID?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure.
And some
hey,
other...
Who doesn't, though, right?
Yeah, I got one.
There's mine.
So his cronies also showed up at the crash site when he wrecked his first Ferrari with Homeland Security. So what the deal is that these guys set up a front at a Monrovia auto shop.
Okay.
I'm way confused already.
Okay, here's the thing. They basically just set up another scam because the whole Gizmondo thing was a scam to get money.
Didn't they buy like a tile company in Florida and then converted that into Tiger Telematics? That's what I just read in the Chronicle.
What is going on?
Exactly.
Yeah, see, that's why this is only the start of the investigation. Anyway, this Monrovia auto shop. They called it the San Gabriel Valley Transit Authority.
Okay.
And what they did was they applied to Homeland Security and said, okay, we want to do security for the San Gabriel Valley Transit Authority. Mm-hmm. And all it was is this is just a bunch of buses that take old folks to the old folks home. And they're going to put cameras on there. They get millions of dollars from the U.S. government to put cameras on old folks' buses. And then, you know, all that extra money goes into buying Enzos, right?
Like making the down payment on an Enzo and not following up.
Right, or making the down payment on a luxury yacht and running out of the country.
There's another part of the story.
This is so awesome.
Exactly, where this is Erickson's friend from Ireland was on the scene of the crash before police. And then he asked one of these other drivers that stopped that he did not know if he could use his cell phone. And the guy's like, okay. So he goes and sits in the dude's car and gets on his cell phone and makes a phone call. Later, you know, everyone goes on their separate ways. The dude who owned the car and loaned the cell phone calls the cops. He's like, oh, by the way, someone wedged a loaded gun clip into my car. It's obviously this dude from Ireland. They try finding a dude from Ireland. He has sailed away on his yacht.
Yes.
What's going on?
Yeah. So, like, there's another thing about, like, Erickson said, like, he put the cameras on the buses for free so he could use them to demo his technology to people.
Wait, Gizmondo technology?
Gizmondo.
Sure. I wouldn't be surprised if he just, like, mounted 6 Gizmondos in there. Said, it's got GPS, whatever. It's everything you need.
So, basically, this story is just getting crazier, and I can see, like, somewhere in the LAPD, they have one of those big boards with pictures and lines going to all these different people.
And lots of question marks.
Yeah, one's just a question mark, and it leads to this Dietrich fella.
You need a Gizmondo just to sort it all out.
This is so awesome.
Yeah, so...
This is great, and, you know, it makes you sit there and think, wow, if these clowns could get Homeland Security badges, where's mine?
Yeah. Right? Let's go. We should do something.
The defense is like, yeah, it's totally legal what we did. We did everything totally legal. Like,
I don't doubt that it was that they went through proper channels and that it was easy for them to do this, but
and
it just
Erickson once
cast
served
that
time
whole,
in Sweden for
that whole for cabinet department into question.
It's a great read. Read it on GameSpot News or the San Francisco Chronicle or the LA Times. You'll find something new in each story.
Yeah, and not to like be the downer at the end of the story, but like the whole Gizmondo saga is kind of a bummer because like as part of their whole money laundering scam or whatever scam it was they were running, they went and bought
Warthog.
They bought Warthog in Texas.
Oh, right.
And converted it into Gizmondo Studios.
And in London they had a bunch
of money too. So they went and bought this legitimate developer that was making legitimate games for legitimate systems and said, all right, now you're going to make games for Gizmondo. I mean, but not really. And then fired them all.
Exactly. And there are legitimate people who came on stage at E3 last year with the Gizmondo, and they were excited about it. Like, these are all...
Oh, yeah, I know a couple of those guys.
Yeah.
I feel really bad because they get really amped about it. But, you know, I mean, they had to have seen it coming. Like, I jumped ship from my company, and theirs was like not even like a Titanic slow go down. It was just like, oh, plane.
Yeah, but you know, it's like how must that feel? It's like whatever. I'm working on these games with these guys. Oh well, now we have to make it for this weird system. That's kind of a bummer, but all right. Well, all right, whatever. We'll be the first party developers for a console. That's kind of crazy.
But I mean,
they had to know.
It's not like we're sitting around here going, oh, Gizmondo, that we were being like, really negative about it. It was just that we knew from experience from previous systems, sure. and like from seeing the Gizmondo, we're like, okay, but why would I buy this if I already have a DS and a PSP? Right. Like, I don't understand.
GPS. Well, it's just that their jobs Camera. Were basically ripped from under them by yeah. shady dealings.
Well, they were probably bought out, so they were probably paid a lot of money.
Well,
so
or
given a lot of stock
were.
And a lot of paper money,
and then take your money and you run.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure some this people. Is, yeah. I'm sure some people were screwed. And
I'm sure somewhere someone is on a yacht using a Gizmondo to figure out where they are in the ocean using the GPS.
We gotta get out of here.
Exactly.
It's Gizmondo.
Dietrich or this Irish fellow.
Maybe. Yeah.
And he's got an empty gun because he left his clip in the other dude's car.
He's got one shot in the chamber, fool.
Does anyone else think it's weird that the very car that he said he was racing against, a Mercedes SLR, is the same car that his wife got picked up for driving around illegally?
Maybe he was racing against his wife.
Maybe it's probably just the first car that came to mind.
Maybe, but yeah. So read it up. It's
you've
great.
Uncovered. You unraveled the case.
We Thanks. Need Angela Lansbury like, right
totally
now. Yeah. Stat.
We need Matlock.
We need right. Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Columbo.
Number one.
When is Korn gonna get into the music game, video game business, Jeff Gerstmann?
Sooner rather than later.
You think?
Because the fantastic band Korn, one of Vinny's favorites.
It's true. Back when I was in my Tool and Life of Agony days, Korn was in my it had rotation oh in my God. Malibu cassette player in my car.
Monkey
what year was your Malibu?
Me, man.
81.
Nice.
Yeah.
I only listen to Fieldy's Dreams. Yeah, so okay.
Gung 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 gung. Haze.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me why
so
I just said that.
Ubisoft sent out a press release yesterday saying, like super pumped, because Korn has written and recorded an original song inspired by Haze.
Inspired
by Haze.
Oh, here's my so many favorite parts for this press release. Already, though, right at the top, the song will be launched to radio and video in November 2007.
Gung, 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 gung.
They're going to put this on the radio?
So it's obviously not about the game. It's just inspired by the
it's
game.
Well,
this single is entitled Haze.
Ka-chunk, my neck a knife.
And it
which Fieldy lives in an eternal haze.
It will be available for purchase online. They're treating this like it's an actual song, which is
so
super
quaint.
Crazy to me.
did the Gears of War rap song ever at the end of the credits, ever, that ever hit the
no,
radio?
I don't think
the Gears of War soundtrack is available from iTunes, though. And
okay.
I think it might be on there.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Not sure. But
I hope this is like that, but serious.
So
let's get to our favorite part,
so, okay,
Jeff.
Okay. They also sent out some wallpaper, which I employed immediately.
It's super good because it's got the guys from Korn.
It's got
Korn.
The guys from Korn, which there are only three guys in Korn now because someone just quit and they haven't replaced him yet.
Uh-huh.
And it's the guy from Haze standing there, and they're like looking at the dude from Haze, and like Jonathan Davis with like high forehead and like the white Whoopi Goldberg just like looking at him.
Kind of confused looking at
him. Yeah, they all look really confused looking at this dude from Haze, and then there's this quote.
Just say it.
Okay, I'll say it. Gaming for me is a religion, and Haze is the sh**, said Jonathan Davis. I had to come up with a track that can hit up that kind of rush I get from the game, and I think we really rocked it.
All right.
They put that word in a press release?
Yeah, uncensored in the press release.
So do we even want to dissect this phrase
yes,
to find
okay,
out?
Okay, so
let's start from the top, break it down
right,
again.
Okay, so okay, gaming for him is a religion.
Check.
Okay.
Haze is the sh-
What does that have to do with the first part?
That means that religion is
No. What is he saying?
What does he say? Is that what he's saying?
Is religion the sh**?
Ow.
He's saying, I'm going to interpret this since I was a Korn fan.
Okay, so this will make sense to Korn fans
Gaming is really super awesome.
Uh-huh.
And of that awesomeness, Haze will top the list.
It just, I love the choice of words that, he started
so
an analogy.
The
sure you can! So he should have been like, gaming for me is a religion, and Haze is the Pope.
Yeah, or if he's gonna go
Pope
in that direction.
The
singing by the gate.
What?
Moving on. What's our next favorite part of this blurb?
Okay, I had to come up with a track that can hit up that kind of rush.
So whoa. Hit up that kind of rush. Is
that's one too many cool phrases in there?
The rush?
It's rush.
What does Tom Sawyer have to do with this?
Troy, you're our official Rush expert.
No, that's Brian Eckberg. We'll have to ask him about that. But yeah,
Power Windows, baby. Great album, 1986.
Hit up that kind of Rush.
Hit up that kind of Rush. You don't hit up a kind of Rush. You hit up someone for like $5.
No.
$5 worth of Rush. You hit up someone for the
shoot outside of the screen.
You don't hit them up for a kind of Rush
that you get from that game.
That you get from that game.
So you know, if you remove any one of the words from there, it's way better. So if you hit that kind of Rush,
right, yeah, that would work.
Hit up that Rush,
yeah,
or hit up that game,
or yeah, yes.
Basically, just someone who wrote this because. Jonathan Davis did not say any of this.
Dude,
Jonathan
Gaming
Davis
for Jonathan,
Jonathan
Davis is a
did
religion.
Not say any of this.
And Hayes is the
I do enjoy.
I think
we
really rocked it.
I think they really rocked it.
I think we really hit up the rocking of this.
I do enjoy the.
We kind of.
Going from this awesome, hypey quote to the kind of robotic response by Christian Solomon, Vice President of Worldwide Licensing at Ubisoft. This deal is a testament to the synergy possibilities between music and video games, which often share the same audience, period. The synergy possibilities between music and video games. Are my religion.
And Hayes is the
Oh, you think they've even played Hayes? You think they've even
I think they were probably jonesing and they showed up with a barrel full of money. Like, here you go, hey!
Do you think,
come on, man, you still need a fourth member? You're not putting out an album anytime soon, right?
So how dirty can this possibly be? Are we going to see a video with, like, the Frag Dolls dancing behind the cord?
The Frag Dolls, for me, Vinny, are a religion. And the Frag Dolls are the
worth mentioning the number of exclamation points in Jonathan Davis's quotes. 2 exclamation points at the end of, and I think we really rocked it.
It is a direct quote.
What I really wish I could get a hold of is one time I got sent a press release and still had all the, like, the tracking changes.
Those are so good.
I would have loved to have seen this. No!
What iterations did this press release go through?
And we had da bomb and it crossed out comments. No, you idiot!
And you know, no, the shit, that's what the kids are saying. Right. And you know that, like, some like high ranking suit said, we can't say that. And
come on, man.
Like, no, man, we need to be uncensored. We need to talk to the kids the way the kids talk.
I mean, it makes me think that just how nonsensical half of this is just makes me think that 18 people wrote this. Yeah. Like, everyone had to have their hand in it.
That's just the quote. Except, not even the rest of the press release.
Except Korn.
Yeah. Except for Korn lead singer Jonathan Davis.
I just want to see the
list. Who has often avowed a love of video games.
True. Often. Say this, you must have cred.
I just want to see the list they went down. You know, like, okay, who can we get?
System of a Down?
No. Jared.
What's who's desperate and has no artistic integrity left? Limp Bizkit? No, too irrelevant. What if we could find something that was like Limp Bizkit? Yeah, get Disturbed on there. Actually, that would have been perfect, too. Dude with metal in his face says gaming for him is a religion, and ooh-wah! He's the
I wish I knew more Hayes catchphrases besides Nectar Knife. I just don't know.
Is Nectar the Rush?
So the end result of all this, I totally hate Hayes now.
Yeah, this has not helped
at all. Hayes looked pretty awesome, and now for them to go affiliate themselves with something as played out and tired as Korn.
Well, you know, it's
like,
going to...
come on.
From listening to Korn, I remember every Korn song has... it's very dynamic, right? It starts off very mellow, and then you get the boom.
All of a sudden, there's like...
Each one is a testament to synergy.
So as a video editor, this is how it looks in my head. It's like Korn, right? Playing there, kind of like, the beat's going. Like boom, da dong dong, and then it crossfades to like slow motion Hayes dude kind of walking out, and it's gonna be an intercut with video games, and it's just gonna bust into like the Korn Hayes montage of stuff blowing up while Korn is playing,
and the whole time they're like doing that artificial camera shake on beat that makes you think there's an earthquake going on, and there's a building blasting apart behind Fieldy.
Oh, this is gonna be so good.
I just hope that there is some Todd McFarlane inspired animation in there too. Because nothing says awesomeness like Korn, Spawn, all together in a one thing.
If we can get that all together.
Animated frag dolls with ridiculously huge boobs bouncing around in the video.
Yep. Again, 1999.
This would have been ripped from today's headline.
1999, we have Street Fighter 4 and Korn in video games.
Korn in video games, yeah. Perfect.
Is it 1999? Did I miss something? Based on the stories today, I'm starting to believe it.
Welcome to your nightmare, Ryan Davis.
Welcome to the human race.
We had to hit up that kind of rush to get take it all the way back to 1999.
I think we really rocked it.
Yeah.
Let's just hope it's called Nectar Knife and move on.
Gaming for me is a religion. And Haze.
Productivity has come to a standstill in the GameSpot offices.
Oh, is the
store you can...
Damn it. I don't want to talk about Korn anymore.
And just for the record, yes, I really did like Korn. I may still like Korn. I haven't listened to them in a while.
I believe they did just put out a new album.
There was a remix of that Adidas song I thought was not quite as bad.
Ball Tongue! That's what I remember from Korn.
Well, Jeff Gersman, good show.
Hi, how's it going?
It's good.
Welcome to the hotspot.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I like it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're good at this. You should do this again sometime.
Okay, how about next Tuesday? Okay, I'll be here. And you'll be here too. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week on The Hotspot.
For more on these or other stories from the world of video games, check out GameSpot.com! 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 For these or other stories from the world of video games, check out GameSpot.com. GameSpot.com.
GameSpot.com.
For more on these or other stories from the world of video games, check out GameSpot.com.
Ew! That's how it is from here on out. That's the new way. I got it bad and I can't get it out of my head. I ain't slept in days, eyes bloodshot red. Just staring at the phone cause I know it's gonna ring. It's a thing that you bring to the stupid flick. The fucking pills don't work, it's a natural fact. So I hack it, puke it up and put it back in my backpack. Turn out the lights cause you don't need to see this. Blowing at your brains with the chemical kiss. Let them dance, dance I say. The paranoia goes away under the light of day. So hey, who am I to tell you how to live your life? By the knife, I got to save your ass from the strife. And I will, so just show me who you want me to kill. Dirty shots, dirty shots, I bury him in the field. I'm going home and I'm clearing a path. Hearing you laugh, save me from this aftermath.
This podcast was a production of the This Year Network. Send your feedback for the show to feedback@thisyearcollection.org. You can tweet us @this_year and you can like us on Facebook @facebook.com/thisyearcollection. The Hotspot was a production of GameSpot.com and CNET. It was hosted by Rich Gallop and Vinnie Caravella and produced by Rich Gallop. It starred Jeff Gersman, Kerry Guskos, Bob Kaleko, Alex Navarro, and Brad Shoemaker. The intro song was Autopilot by Midnight Brown. The closing songs were Never Fired, Dropped Once, and Too Hot by Midnight Brown. The closing sting was the Yankee Stadium RBI sound. This has been This Year. Thank you for listening.
Okay, fine, I'll drop the act. I punched a hole in my walnut. What you think about that? I ease back from the ledge. The group got ahead, but if I don't find the balance, then I'll end up dead. And she said, you're just being melodramatic. I've had it with all your full-core static.
Didn't take much to realize she was not wrong, and now I can't stand her. I fucking tip of the song, but it's on. I'm in, I can't turn back, I can't break free, locked in on the track. And the sick part is, this is just how I'm wanted. Looking over my shoulder on it, constantly haunted by the memories of every dumb thing that I did as a kid. There's nothing left to be hid, nothing to lose, step to me and you're gone. I'll throw you off the stage like you were PM Dawn, bitch. Justified, swallow your stupid pride. Her gaze might make you die. She's
too hot to jaywalk.
Brush her hair, my tongue, her arm, oh yeah.
Too hot to jaywalk.
Her lips, her hips, my mind on fire, oh yeah. She's way out of your league. You don't got what she needs. Stare till you get fatigued. In your mind, you do the deed. She might be on the making. Your hands just keep on shaking. She's yours until you waken. She's hot like frying bacon.
Too hot to jaywalk.
Her feet, her knees, you want to please, but she's
too hot to jaywalk.
No chance, no way, it's not your day, oh
of This Year podcast. You can find more episodes at thisyearcollection.org.
Damn you, Dietrich!
To replay, press 1.